How about now?
Better. Oh, my gosh, you sound good.
Okay, yeah. There's much less staticky in the background. There's still a little, but it's a lot less.
How about now?
Good.
Yeah, well, that sounds fine.
Is less static now or no?
Less static, yes.
Okay, if I do this, is there more static? Test, test, test.
Maybe.
No static.
We're getting to the point where it's like when you're at the optometrist and he says, okay, is this better or worse? And this one
better
or
worse?
This one?
How about this one?
How about this one? Better or worse?
This one or this one? And then they quicken it up. It's like this one or this one?
I don't know.
If I hold a gun to your head, which one? This one or this one?
I'm concentrating on the gun.
Well, see, this is what happens when we start when I have to take everything apart for Dragon Con. Then I got to put it all back together.
You had a week.
Hey, kids.
Hey,
I have not had a week. You're correct. I have had a week.
I've also had a week, if that counts for anything, which it probably
I've had a week.
Rob, have you had a week?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Was it a good week?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Was it really good? You went overseas, right? Right?
Yeah. It turns out I work with a woman whose son-in-law is in the Arcade Fire.
Yeah. Oh.
Holy
she's
shit.
Going to Montreal.
Is he okay? Do you have to go to the burn unit?
He so, should have been playing Donkey Kong
zines.
That fast.
Yeah.
I gave her some zines to give to him.
Good.
That's fantastic.
Yay!
You know what? I think this calls for a celebration, Rob. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Ah. Oh,
yeah,
wow. Wow.
Steph, I've reached a sad state of wow. The only beer in the house is Schlitz.
You know what happened? I got a sad story to tell. I realized as I boarded the plane that A, I did not have any derelict beer. B,
I didn't either. So.
B, I never actually drank any derelict beer.
Shut
I
up.
Did not either.
No.
I did not either. All the bottles I had were to give to other people.
And Lee's boss, I'm sure Lee told you this, but Lee's boss said...
Lee's boss.
At Dragon Con. Dave,
oh, yeah.
The guy in charge of programming said it was possibly the second best beer he's ever had in his life.
Wow.
Wow!
The first was Schlitz, but no,
Rox.
I'm joking.
Rox, in all seriousness, that was a fucking great porter, okay?
It was.
Yes.
Now, I've got two bottles here. I'll send
you. Can you send them? I don't know if you can. In interstate?
You know what? I will wrap it like you cannot believe, and you will get it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering if
I just gave all mine away. So, the one I was saving for me got absconded by James Marsters. So.
Hey.
Now, Rox, what I would say is, having heard that some of the tops had popped off prematurely.
Yeah.
What I did for like the one that I sent off to Jonathan Mayberry, who did get his, by the way, I took a bit of packing tape and just put it around it and sort of like sealed it, you know, kind of like a secondary seal just in case.
Okay. Thank you.
Nice.
So, but yeah, so Jonathan got, who all got them? You said, you said Sylvester got it. You said
Sylvester,
got
Peter
it.
Davison. David Warner, who doesn't drink, so his went to Malcolm McDowell. And I had an extra one. I said, well, Malcolm, I have an extra one. And I had it on the table. I was going to give it to him. And Marsters came by and said, oh, cool, a beer. And just grabbed it.
That's awesome.
I think it was Marsters. Yeah. It's one of the tortured people anyway. So, yeah.
I think Bill Corbett got one. I'll have to check with Aaron of who he doled
out
to.
There were people in the bridge track. They're like, I heard you guys had beer and we didn't get none. And like, no, you didn't.
Well, I mean, we were down to which you took two home. I mean, everybody was left. I mean, we really didn't have any beer left.
Not really.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thinking, Rox, was to get it to as many, you know, celebrity
people
as possible.
Yeah.
Thinking that I could pick some up later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, my brother can make more. He's good. He is really. I want to buy him some wooden casks because he's not he's not really, he's aging it, but he's not aging it in like wooden barrels or anything. So I want to get him some of those.
Oh, wait, rocks. I just had a great idea.
And I did too, but go ahead.
Okay. So the zombie panel that I was on with Jonathan and the zombie squad rep was there. And a mad scientist was there, and the mad scientist showed up with some, I forget what type of Balvenie 17 it was, but he basically was pouring scotch for everybody on the panel.
Wow.
So my thought is, what if I hooked your brother up with like casky type stuff so that there could be like a tiny cask that was like the zombie panel cask that was just for the panel. I'm like,
oh yeah.
You know, I can't show up with really expensive scotch, but how about one of a kind zombie beer?
Oh yeah. I'll have we can do this all year long and come up with different
Rocks.
Stuff. Yes.
Next year, two things. One, we should get coasters.
We have coasters. There's Need Coffee coasters. They exist.
No, I mean derelict coasters. The derelict
beer coasters. Oh my god, Rob.
Sorry. Never mind.
But wait a minute.
You handle that. You handle the coasters.
Okay. I will talk to the people who put in my business cards and see if they can.
All right.
And if they can, I want you to handle the design of it and stuff.
All right.
What I was thinking is, what if you did like the coaster was like a special derelict 2.1 where there was a tiny zine on the back of it?
Oh my God, we can do that.
That was like.
We could just make a sticker and tell people to put it over their crap beer coaster.
That's even better. It's a sticker that covers the coaster completely. So it's like Invasion of the Coaster Snatchers.
That'll work.
So I
can do that.
So I'm thinking. So Rocks, you can throw in a sketch. I'll do a tiny haiku, and then somebody else can leave a coffee stain on something, and we turn that into a sticker. Derelict 2.1.
Now I know Lee had hers optioned out for either Grim people and Warehouse 13 people. So I don't know. We'll have to find out from her who she gave out beer to.
And we should get Mighty Bill to do a beer commercial for us.
We should.
I love Sylvester's. It's like, so let me get this straight. I did a sketch last year to give me a beer. Yes. So this year, if I give you a poster, if I make you a poster, will you give me a car? And I'm like, it doesn't work like that, Sylvester.
now, what?
But
you
my
do
last.
Is,
oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say is we could, if we could, you've got his address, we could just send him a Matchbox car of some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be back next year. I think he'll be back in 2 years.
Right.
Because oh, okay. 3 years in a row, unless they're Richard Hatch, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I understand.
I made this offhanded joke to Sylvester and Peter before their panel when I had the two doctors, and you know they were like, "Please don't talk about the 50th anniversary too much because we're kind of tired of it." I'm like, "Are you guys really pissed about this?" And Sylvester just kind of made his face, and I said, "Well, if you guys are really unhappy about not being the 50th, you should do something about it." And then this week they protested in front of the BBC offices with tickets.
Good job.
Which I don't think it has anything to do with me, but I'll take the full credit. So
I would.
That's great.
Yeah.
Hey, if it makes me famous by just having a famous bike, take it. Just like me. Yep. It's like, yes, my bike's famous. I don't care. It's like chitty chitty bang bang. That's what I am.
Sylvester
said that you were like Willy Wonka but with a bike.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, she's Wilhelmina Wonka. Mm-hmm.
And I was very pleased that he said I reminded him of Malcolm McLaren on Speed.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow, that's cool.
Except I don't make clothes. Yeah.
Wow. So
Alan and go ahead.
Well, let me check in with the populace before I finish this. A couple of our lovely fans from Canada.
Awesome
sexy fans.
Blame Canada.
What? Basically, they show. First of all, I walk in to make the bad men stop part one. Someone's bought us a giant cookie.
Yeah.
Oh, which was so sexy. I actually only thought of taking a picture. Everyone else got a picture of it while it was still intact. Me, I ran around looking for something to cut it with and proceeded to maul it. Because I can't tell you how
it
long.
It looks better cut up like that. It's like, thanks for the cookie.
Yeah, I can't. I couldn't help but eat it. So Steve Big Twits on Twitter, they smuggled some beer down from Canada for me. God bless them. Mill Street Brewery. And I'm you know them.
I've heard of them. I have beer friends that have that stuff. They like it. Yeah, and I saw them when I was in Portland.
Yeah, so this is the I'm trying the Don Valley Bench Oak Aged, and it's actually quite tasty. I am very happy with this.
I mean, so you like it when people just randomly send you beer then, right?
No, now here's the thing. Is, yeah. Now hey,
if they were to send you beer, where would they send it to?
Well, first of all, please don't send me anything illegal, but but all I could say is what I would say is email me at info@needcoffee.com and let's make arrangements.
It's $25 a bottle in jail time.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's what my coworkers were like. They're like, you're going to go to jail. I'm like, have I ever gotten caught in doing anything?
Yeah,
no.
But Canadian,
knock on wood right now.
Canadian jail. I mean, come on. How tough would Canadian jail be?
Well, I mean, the other thing too is that, like, you know, if you have a license, please send me review materials because, you know, you can. They have changed the rules where you can ship stuff into Georgia because I guess they finally realized that people under the age of 21 really don't plan ahead. That's what killed me. All right, so we don't want people to mail order stuff and order stuff online. Because we don't want people under the age of 21 doing that. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when you were under the age of 21 and you wanted to drink, were you playing the long game on that? Or were you just like, hey, could you please go into the store and buy us something?
I never had to do that.
I live in Missouri. You could just give anyone money. And
yeah, exactly. And Rox, you have a brother who makes beer, so obviously you've never had to do it.
Brother-in-law.
Which reminds me of a great...
We're going to have to get my other brother-in-law. That's Pete is my brother-in-law.
Just well, okay. I didn't start.
However, I have yet another brother-in-law who makes his own wine. So we need to hook up with him.
Now at what point? Now Rox, are these all actual brother-in-laws, brothers-in-law, or is that like a code for they're in the family?
No, they are actual married.
Just checking. I thought this might have been part of...
They spawn little children and stuff, yeah.
The inner sanctum of your cult or something.
No,
Did I ever tell you my 905 story?
Your 905 story?
I'm pretty
okay,
sure
there used to be a liquor store chain called 905. Okay. They were in St. Louis in the Midwest. And I was 17, and there was a couple people I knew that were close to being 18, but could pull off 21 that had fake IDs. So you would go to the parking lot, basically listen to your really awful punk tapes and hope someone over 21 would buy you a beer. So this kid I knew named Todd had a really good fake ID, but he got busted the week before, so he couldn't go in. So he just basically hung out by the door. So this guy comes in the door, he hands him a 20, can you get me a six-pack of whatever you want to do and keep the change, right? And so this guy does it, he comes out, he gets to the car, and we look up, and we realized it was Ralph Mouth from Happy Day.
Holy wow. Shit.
Yeah, and I didn't really believe it, but the next day I saw something on TV that, you know, there was like a big concert with like, what's his face, Donnie Most, and who's the guy, I think, Anthony Williams, and like Scott Baio, and the other, like four of the people from Happy Days were doing some like car show thing here, and we're like, oh shit, so yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I,
now,
was,
I did give some beer to God. Our loyal fans. Two went to the cookie buyers.
Good.
And Carol and her big tall husband, they got some. So.
Yeah, it was funny. Sylvester was like, so let me get this straight. You people give me beer and fudge. I'm like, yes. He's like, wow. I mean, Sylvester made a haul. He got beer. He got fudge. Somebody made him cookies. I mean, every time I turned around, somebody was giving Sylvester McCoy something for free.
What's so, not to but, like about Dragon Con?
Can I tell you my
most... But it wasn't beer.
Oh, never
was mind. That, what's that, John?
Oh, nothing. I'm just sitting over here. Don't worry about it.
No,
no, John, tell us a story. No, John was going to say something.
Uncle John, tell us a story.
Two things. One, you guys were referring to under 21 drinking. I was just going to point out that I didn't start drinking until I started this podcast. Bo-dum bump. Okay. Next.
Whoa. This particular episode of the podcast?
No.
I was about to say you were full of shit, sir.
I have no idea what you're talking about. The other thing was, so before Solve This, I had to present one of those awards for the Parsecs?
The Parsecs, yes.
Yeah.
I was supposed to, we were supposed to go up first, but somehow they wrangled Sylvester McCoy to come in.
Wow. Uh-huh.
They probably bribed him with M&M.
Beer.
So he did basically two sets. And
sets of what?
Well, first of all, he presented an award, and then he accepted an award for some Australian thing that won. And I had to follow that, and then immediately had to go over to do Solve This. So not only was my whole entire presentation at the Parsecs ruined because I had to follow. Not only was I concerned because the folks that were the one lady wasn't necessarily doing what I wrote, and but then on top of that, I had to follow Sylvester McCoy and his 15 minutes of vamping, which basically is the
John
following Richard Pryor. If you're, I don't know, I guess Eddie Murphy. No, that's not. I don't want to compare myself to Eddie Murphy.
John, actually, think of it this way:
Grace Jones was in Vamp, actually.
Oh, okay.
John, think of it this way, right? You now have been within 20 feet of Sylvester McCoy two more times than Shag has.
Well, I can look at it this way. Sylvester McCoy opened for me.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Awesome. Yes, he did. I'll witness that.
It's so true.
Worst
I
day
agree.
Of
but
my
technically,
life.
We could argue everyone that did a panel before our event on Friday night looking for it.
It really was just a warm-up.
It was. And then we closed out the night.
Yeah.
That is true.
It was really weird because I don't know how many of you guys stuck around Monday, but there were people I was staying with that we stayed a little later, but McCoy and Davison, as of 5:30 p.m. on Monday, were still signing in the Walk of Fame.
Wow, really? Damn.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Who was left at the Walk of Fame?
I don't know about
George
the rest
Lowe.
Of them, but the Torchwood people bailed early because I was trying to get a couple things on Sunday, and they were gone. But
George Lowe was in line to get signed by Sylvester McCoy and Peter
Davison. No, Torchwood. I thought you said Torchwood. I'm sorry.
Oh, there's
no,
in line.
No. I was going to make a guarantee that George Lowe was still there.
But no, the
that's a money joke, really.
but yeah, McCoy and Davison, I know, were like staying till like the bitter end, which I thought was awesome.
Okay.
So this was delicious. This Don Valley Bench Mill Street was really nice. Thank you, Canadian sexy people.
Yay.
It should be noted that they brought you more beer back than Lee did when she went to Canada, right?
Wow, I hadn't thought of that. Wow. What I was saying about Georgia is that they thought that people under the age of 21 were going to be like ordering like rare scotch or something on the internet. It's ridiculous. It's like, no, when you're under 21, you just want to get shit-faced.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yes.
So, of course, I celebrated ordering alcohol online by getting that Voodoo Donut Maple Bacon Ale, Donut Ale, in the pink bottle, which tasted like plasticine Satan. So,
is that good or bad?
No, it was awful. It was fucking awful.
It sounded like it would be awful.
What one was it?
Rogue Beer teamed up with Voodoo Donuts to make a maple bacon donut ale. If you go back and watch the video that I recorded, I opened it and the smell knocked me back.
Wow.
It was like, imagine like really fake chemical maple.
Oh.
Yeah. But imagine that like wafting over the land like it was coming from like a chemical plant. And then you're driving by and then you go, what the? That's what it was like.
So it smells like New Jersey.
I've never been to New Jersey, but I'll take your word for it.
New Jersey, there's a certain city in New Jersey, no, that is actually the home of all smells. Anything that you can think of. No.
All smells.
It's all smells. It's this company that fabricates smells for anything. Like, okay, you buy a frozen pizza, okay? Yeah. They flash freeze the pizza. Say you got pizza with bell pepper, right? They actually have to, because it's flash frozen, there's no smell. So they go to this company, don't know what it is. It was in like Omnivores de Velma or something like that. And they'll say, hey, we need bell pepper. Or it was even in, you know, Fast Food Nation. It's like, here's a eyedropper thing. Smell this. And it smells like cooked beef already. So basically, and it's also, here's the scary part. It's also the same place that you can get like certain perfumes, you know, so just figure that one out. So basically, the city in New Jersey is like this home of any smell you could think of. And it's weird. Different days smell differently.
So, see, here's the thing. The frozen pizzas that I buy, they don't really smell like anything.
No, because it's all flash frozen. But the thing is...
But they don't add anything. I mean,
you may not notice that, but I'm sure that there's an enhanced smell to it. Odor, something. I mean, it can't just not smell like anything. You might as well eat cardboard, right?
I have that time that I came home and accidentally ate one of those diet cookies, but it just smells like frozen pizza. I mean, it doesn't have any food smell to it. It just smells like frozenness.
It smells, well, okay, whatever. But there is like an enhanced smell, even though it smells like pizza-ish. Yes. You know, because when you freeze something, the odor goes away and stuff eventually.
See, but here's the thing, though. If odor goes away when I freeze something, then why, if I don't have baking soda in my freezer, does everything smell like freezer?
I don't know. It's the stale ice. Stale ice and plastic.
Isn't that that's a Moody Blues song, isn't it?
It is. Stale ice.
It's also a zine. Somewhere there's a zine called Stale Ice and Plastic.
Yeah.
But we just copyrighted the name.
That would be issue number 3 when it comes out.
Can I just say that Apple is a bunch of douchebags?
Oh my God! Yes.
Yes, you can.
They're plastic little.
Right. They go. We're unapologetically plastic.
I know.
And I'm like, what? All this time, you guys kept making fun of everyone that was that had plastic phones. Now, well, you know, it's Apple. Now it's cool.
Well, you know, he's dead. If Steve Jobs was around, he would say, no, we're not going plastic phone. You're not doing
it. Well, it's a Johnny Ive thing that I know. Decided to do it.
I know. Steve would have slapped him around because I'm sure that there's some sort of domestic abuse going on when he was alive. And he would have told him no. So now you have a $99 plasticky shit phone. With like a $75 monthly plan.
Hang on, back up. So first of all, do I sound any better?
N-O spells no. Shit. So it's K-N-O-W, by the way. Which is all robo. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back. Oh, so John, all right, Rob, you got rooms. See, now run on the bank has already occurred.
Yeah, I got. It's interestingly, I got rooms at my special place.
I know.
But they didn't have any doubles left, and I Monday. So I wound up getting kings.
Oh, so everyone's gonna do a bed share.
Well, no, the deal is that there's actually there still is the pull-out couches there. So.
Oh. Did you get the Westin, Rob? What's wrong?
I got a call from Lance saying call them now, right?
Yeah.
I hung up. I called them and they were already booked.
Because you know what? I was on the phone. All right. This is the reason I take a day off after Dragon Con, just to do the fucking hotel crap.
I went by the Westin the morning before I left, right? To book, mm-hmm. And they're like, "I'm sorry, we're not booking yet."
Oh my God, that was Tuesday, right?
Yeah. So I went back again, and I was like, I need to talk to a manager, you know, about booking. And this is early, 6:45 in the morning. And they're like, we're not booking. So then I went back later, and then they said, we're not booking. And then I got the call from you guys. Oh, call them. They're booking. And I'm like, some uninformed fuck screwed me.
Oh, I know. So, I left a really message the day before because I was looking at Facebook at the airport, and they're like, oh, the rooms are already. Now the thing is when they tell reservationists that it's unavailable, they don't tell them how it's unavailable or why.
Yeah.
Is it blocked? Is it not released? That's a thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't release the rooms and they don't tell the fucking reservations this.
Yeah.
You know, I started Twittering them. I'm like, okay, you pricks, this blah 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 blah, you know. So I started doing a reservation. It's like, look, I'm even a SPG member. I'm like,
yeah,
you know, what can you give me? Then we can give you a room at the W. And even then it was like, okay, $400 for Wednesday, but then you can get Conrate same room the other days. It's like, okay, that makes
sense. So you didn't get into the Westin?
No, I did. Here's the thing. I checked on Facebook the next fucking day, and somebody's like, hey, I just got a room. And it was like a second. I just looked. So I called them up immediately. Here's the weird thing. My neighbors wanted to go. And so I'm like, I get two rooms. I wasn't thinking of Lance and Cheryl. I'm so sorry. However, so I posted, I'm like, I got rooms for me and my friends. And Lance is like, yay. I'm like, oh shit. I immediately got on the phone with Cheryl. I'm like, you need to call right now. So
yes, I called
second.
I had three people calling, like right after that. Literally. And it was like,
well, all I could think of is they'll release rooms periodically.
Well, I called and I spoke to Starwood, and I've got somebody at Starwood that's going to call me if rooms open up.
Right. I mean, you're a Starwood member, right? Too.
And then I've got somebody in Atlanta that goes into those hotels because he does architecture for hotels, and he's just whenever he's in Atlanta or whenever he's downtown at like if he's going to the Hyatt for work or something, he's going to run over to the Westin and just see if rooms is open.
All right. Well, I say call. So, I keep calling them.
Yeah, I call them every 2 days. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now, the thing is, the Hyatt apparently doesn't open until October 10.
Well, I mean, I got a room with the Sheraton, so, I mean, it's not like...
I know, but why is it you want to move from the Sheraton? Just because?
Let's just say that sometimes being in the same hotel as my track has its...
Oh, yeah, there's a drawback.
Well, now, what I would say,
anybody
better now?
No.
But, Rox, I also am looking into something.
All right, I
got to
come in here back.
Is that better?
You're fine.
Yeah, oh, he's all right.
So, Rox, I've actually got somebody else looking into renting out a loft. Because there are some people at Dragon Con that rented out lofts because a bunch of those lofts they built downtown.
Yeah.
So there's some people that paid like $500 or $600 a week for a loft. And basically it's got, you know, a full kitchen and a full bath, but you have to bring your own stuff to sleep on.
You're kidding.
Yeah. So I'm looking into that for next year too.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the all right. I found out a really good thing. Here's a helpful tip for me. Shipping a bike back and forth is always a pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, here's the cool thing. This time, and this is why I missed Big Bri's birthday. I'm really sorry. I really wanted to go. However, I'm like, this time the box bike is a little bigger than I'm normally using. So I'm like, oh, I hate getting up early on Monday morning to go to the UPS store or FedEx to ship the bike out. That's always like an hour's worth of time. So I go downstairs to the Westin and I talk to this, you know, one of the front counter people. And she's like, well, you know, the UPS truck and FedEx pick up here. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, if you set up an account with UPS or FedEx, you know, they pick up and just schedule a pickup and they'll take it away. I'm like, holy shit. So that's what I did. I set up a UPS, do this ahead of time, set up a UPS account. Also, this is for next year, people, get yourself a little tape measure. If you don't know the size of the box and stuff, get yourself a little tape measure. And most of the hotels, if they have a business section, they also have a scale. Now, I already knew what the size of the box was that I was shipping back because I didn't put anything more or anything less into it. So I stayed with the same amount. The business rooms usually have tape and stuff. You could log on to your UPS, you know, your email, you know, your UPS. Actually, here's the thing. You can actually log on to an app, set up a schedule, you know, give the all dimensions and all that, and you've already set up, you know, payment and stuff. Then they will shoot you an email with a PDF label. So you would print that out. So the cool thing was I didn't have to do anything. I went back upstairs. I had my labels. I packed the bike. I called luggage. A man came up with a big cart and towed it away. I gave him a tip. And I went downstairs and I tipped the one woman that helped me out too. So
yeah, I used to send stuff home because I had luggage cramp, and it's awesome. I don't understand why people just don't use UPS.
Well, I mean, no. I mean, here it saved me going to the Marriott or the Hilton's FedEx. Now, the thing is if you're going to do that FedEx at both locations, there's one at the lower section of the Marriott and there's one at the Hilton. They are always open that Monday because unlike the UPS over at the Sheraton, they're never open. So go to FedEx. And here, I didn't have to do a thing. It was great. And it showed up like it was supposed to. So, yeah, use your hotel.
Next year, you can have the bike. You can have the bike sent to the hotel directly.
Oh,
right?
Here's the thing. I've been doing that. I didn't realize for years. I've had the bike shipped to the hotel, no problem. It was shipping it out. See, this year the box was a lot bigger, and carting it down to the UPS store or FedEx was going to be a pain in the ass. So, you know, I didn't know that UPS picked up at the hotels.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes sense because you can drop crap off at the hotels. So there you go.
This year I called ahead and had stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Down.
It's nice.
It's like, oh, my God, this is so great.
Yeah. So, but they pick up and you don't have to deal with it. And I couldn't believe it was like the first Monday. It was kind of leisurely. It's like, I don't know what to do with all this time. I don't have a panel till 1. So. Anyway, so that's my helpful hint, kids. Ship things.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Plus, here's a little thing too. Last year, there's this guy. He bought like a $50 sword, and he wanted to ship it. And I think he was shipping it. I don't know. It was like in the States, but it was going to come out to be like $150.
Was I next to you when that was happening? I remember this story.
I think I told you immediately. I think it happened immediately.
Okay, I heard something about it. Okay, good.
And it was just unreal. So the guy's like, I should almost give this away. I'm like, it would save you some money. So, It was, you know, just watch on what you're shipping. If you want to buy a sword, people, actually have the person that you bought the sword, because you're usually a big dealer, have them ship it to your home.
Yeah,
you know, they're just gonna go back to their, you know, whatever state, and then just ship it out from there. Just do it that way. It's that simple, people. Because, you know, bottom line, we all know that you're not getting deals like cons used to be. You know,
yeah.
I mean, this one poor guy, he was on the elevator with me, and he was like, "Ah, I'd love to get into steampunk, but it's so expensive." I'm like, "What do you mean?" I said, "You make the crap." He goes, "Yeah, but if you don't have any skills..." He goes, do you see those prices in there? I said, yeah, they're insane. I said, I don't know anyone that would buy an arm brace for $150 when you can make one. Insane. Anyway. So, how was your con, Widge? Is he back?
I don't know. How was my voice?
Oh, horrible. It's terrible.
Here's what's weird.
Yes, it was.
You and Rob have hung up, apparently. All I can see is John.
I'm not here, though. See, that's what's weird. That's what the really
John's
weird part is.
Here.
Yes, okay. John has left the building.
No.
So, John, how did they get you to do a thing for the Parsec Awards?
How did they get me to do one?
Yeah, how did they get you to present?
I know, because I'm in such high demand. It's hard to believe that I would be available to do Parsecs, because really, my writer, they just asked.
How come you didn't get a Parsec for your 50 Days of Dragon Con?
Because the Parsec is actually more for things like...
How come we don't get a Parsec for our show?
Yeah.
John, you're now on the inside. Make this happen.
The reality is it's... It's more for scripted. Oh, well, I guess that would qualify
scripted.
Us, wouldn't it?
We're scripted. I wrote notes just now.
But yeah, it's more for scripted stuff.
We're scripted.
Podcasts.
We have table readings.
They're just snobs.
I guess. But to me, that's
I have
boring.
A, well,
so
here's,
what are we? So what is?
Here's
so,
the
what,
deal.
We're
here,
like, close to live radio?
What do you mean?
I don't know what we do. What do we do? What is this called?
It's more like
this weird thing.
Ours is like a zine, an audio zine, train wreck.
Yeah, speaking of zines, how come we don't get a fucking Pulitzer or a Nobel Prize?
I don't know, Rob. That's your business. I had to work on coasters.
We're
just going to do the stickers, remember?
Well, okay, whatever.
My presentation was so horrible.
Ladies and gentlemen,
My presentation was so horrible that they will not be asking me back again, so it's...
Why? What did you...
I doubt that.
No, really?
Hold on.
Were you Roseanne Barr at the National Anthem terrible, or what?
It was
awkwardly standing there. Here, let's see. I think I have the audio right here.
Do you want me to be your stand-in next year? I'll do it. Hi, I'm John.
Here, let's see if we can play this. It's horrible.
Sparkly. I know it's so sparkly.
Yeah. It's so pretty.
Yes, it is.
There's a better than fair chance that the finalists in this category are still up in their rooms working on their good bat hunting scripts or their sex lies and androids, I'm pretty sure at this point.
You know what?
So there's that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, well, hold on. Wait, it gets better.
Podcast in this category might be discussing things that I love. Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Is that Lee?
Yeah, it was me, Lee, and I forget what her name is. Anyway. All I know is that Aaron made fun of me as soon as I walked off, saying, "Oh, great banter, John. Yeah, good.
You know what?
Job.
How many?
Oh,
how many?
Well, you know,
how many people?
Aaron's like Dragon Con's whore. Just saying, man.
Slow clap. No, it went horribly because I even yelled at the crowd. Hold on.
Part of that, or along a zombie shark, or a bulldozer, or an earthquake, whatever.
Oh,
and or suddenly we're all those cat skills. What happened here?
Yes.
We're having a lot of fun.
We can just blame our wonderful presenters.
We can.
Yes.
It's all awesome.
We will.
It's all awesome. But I you know.
And so here's.
I don't understand anything that was said.
Here,
you know, I do think, I do have a theory here, John.
I can't remember the name of the lady that I was with, but anyway, go on.
All right. I was going to say, Lee wanted our music podcast to end after 13 episodes. I think she set you up at the park to shut you down as well. I'm just saying that girl is sinister. Just watch her.
Sinister. Sinister Lee.
I actually, now that I look at it, I may have thrown them off by ad-libbing something.
You're fine, John. You're fine. You're fine, man. Right.
Well,
How many people can bitch? Because only the people that have given away parsecs before have any right to bitch about it.
Yeah.
And
they're all chumps.
The deal is
we're never gonna get one now.
What do you call it? So,
are you telling me there's not one sort of non-scripted parsec award?
There might be. Let's see. Jean Marie Ward was who the other woman was.
What, did Burt Ward get a sex change?
No, Jean Marie Ward apparently is an author. She's actually a con guest. So
okay.
Oh, Rob, did you go to any of the Dark Shadows stuff? They were fun. They were fun.
You mean the dark? Not the Dark Shadows.
Shadows. No, the two actresses from Dark Shadows.
Why did I not know they were even there?
Rob! I don't know. They were fun, though. They were awesome. That's Angelique awesome. Is still alive. Angelique! And so is Maggie.
They're I awesome. Didn't know.
Yes, they were a lot of fun. Entertaining. And Larry Niven is still kicking around.
We are basically the Peter O'Toole of Parsec Awards.
Ooh, I guess so.
But, you know, what's interesting about Larry Niven is I went to the, I spent a lot of late nights before, in between drinking, going to the space programming for the telescope stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And the guy who did it was, like, hilarious. He was hilariously grumpy. It was awesome. He's like, because he's setting up the telescope, because they basically logged into this huge telescope on a mountain in Chile.
Yeah, we interviewed him for 50 Days of DragonCon. He's actually awesome. It made me feel I was incredibly dumb.
Yeah. But he was like, yeah, you know. So he talked about the con while he was doing the busy work. He's like, so I met Larry Niven today. And he's like, it was amazing and it was great and I can't believe he's here. He goes, now, there's all these kids walking around in their fucking Halo Rock costumes and being all cool. They need to go in there and bow to him like he's the god he is, because they wouldn't have their little playtime if it wasn't.
Oh, no. He was awesome. He had a great panel. I was glad that his room, they had Centennial 2 and 3, and he had a really decent crowd.
The cool thing about Larry Niven coming to DragonCon is it sort of renews the sort of literary presence of DragonCon.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Which I think is really needed. I mean, I know they bring Widge, but, you know, they need to more.
See, I think, well, you know, the problem is a lot of authors bailed because of that whole asshole Ed Kramer thing.
Well, it's also the same weekend as WorldCon, so it's a little
WorldCon,
there's always been that, but the thing is before the whole Ed Kramer thing, there was always really good authors there. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I didn't realize this, as there has been like a major boycott from authors, like John Shirley. He swore off that he would never go. I mean, I saw him like, I don't know, 98 or something.
Yeah, I saw him like 97, 98. Yeah.
Yeah. I like John Shirley. I love his work. He's great.
Hey, Rob. Rob, was it Bill Keel? Was that who it was?
Yes.
Dr. Bill Keel, yeah. We interviewed him on day 19 of 50 Days.
Yeah, and I'm looking back. That guy was awesome. And it's the first time that, you know,
was he running
like
the telescope and stuff?
Yeah, he's a professor. He's a,
I saw him. I talked to him out at the Hilton.
I think he's at University of Alabama.
I talked to him about doing some panels next year.
Oh, that'd be nice.
like, you know, scientists versus geeks, like, you know, what we bring up a movie and something that happens in a movie and he can tell us why it's scientifically implausible or something, you know. But no, I mean, the space track, they moved to a bigger room this year and they just did some really kick-ass stuff. Like, I went to the Curiosity panel and the panel on Cassini.
Yeah.
And they've done a really good job of assembling people that can take that really hard science and break mm-hmm. it down into something that's entertaining. And you can just, okay, give me the 15, you know, the 45 minute version of it where my head doesn't spin getting lost in all the math. And, you know, they were great. And the telescope thing was awesome because they plugged into, like I said, the mountaintop in Chile.
Yeah.
And they could zoom up on the sky and he'd explain what everything, you know, the thing was or whatever. And it was actually pretty cool.
I actually went I made sure I went to different panels that I wouldn't normally go to. Like, I actually went to the War College thing.
Oh, my God. I went to those. Those were great.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I went because they actually they started their sessions like at 9 o'clock.
Nine. I know. Yeah,
and
I went to the end of the Cuban Missile Crisis one.
I skipped over that one because I went to the one about the types of missiles and stuff. And that was
I went to the Cuban Missile Crisis one. That was great.
So, well, actually, the one before, I actually went to Crossing the Veil. Now, get this. This is the cool person that they got. He was a firefighter EMT guy who helped with the bomb disposal stuff after Colorado, after the shooting of Colorado, you know, Yeah. So his whole thing, he was in the paranormal track and he was, you know, he was giving the argument of in certain circumstances, in certain conditions that you can actually come back from the dead after like I said, it's got to be certain conditions that you can come back from the dead. Meaning, it's, you know, you almost have to be totally frozen, low humidity, you know, your body has to be, you know, at a certain core temperature and stuff like that. So, but he, you know, he had this picture of him and Christian Bale, you know, because he helped with, you know, when they were dismantling the bombs of that nut job's house and stuff. So, and that was the paranormal track. And I'm like, wow, this is actually pretty, you know, for a 9 o'clock panel and stuff. It was pretty good, you know.
Well,
so,
wait a minute. First of all, do I sound any better?
Nope.
No.
What do you? I have no idea. I just need to reboot everything, I guess. All right. I'll be back.
All right.
You sound worse than my presentation at the Parsec Awards.
Wow.
Heyo. Let me go kill myself now.
So, now I know some people were complaining. Now, John, do you think they should cap like Saturday? I know people have been griping about that. It's like too many people.
Well, you know, it's funny. Somebody, there's a contingent that's saying it seemed like there was less people. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know when those people particularly went because as far as I know, it's only grown every year.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they were thinking this was San Diego or something. I don't know.
Now the thing is I've done, Rob, you've done Comic-Con, right? A Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I've done a Comic-Con, which we know has done Comic-Con. This is you can still get around. There's ways of getting around, you know.
On Saturday,
and as you move around, here's the biggest difference in Comic-Con is when it's crowded. When you move around, people are still basically cool to one another, for the most part, you know.
Yes.
And it's not, you know, Comic-Con has this. It's sort of like I'm going to move around 68,000 other pretentious people that are all selfish and self-righteous. And Dragon Con's kind of like moving around just a bunch of like really awesome people all trying to get around too.
It's
an interesting little ecosystem, you know. Although Saturday, there's no way that Saturday was slow. I don't know what plan. Because I went to the Doctor Who video room at like 4 in the morning on that Saturday.
And it was hopping, wasn't it?
And yeah, and I mean, literally, like, you couldn't move that whole day anyway.
Now, I've learned, you know, I don't care about standing in line to get into a panel. You know, wait a few minutes till it starts. You know, okay, you're not going to get close up. If you want to get close up, you know, find a friend and stuff and camp out if you so desire. But I mean, there's other ways of meeting these people throughout the
weekend, video screens,
or go to the, you know, Walk of Fame, or, you know, if you want that, you know, the foggy picture thing. There's ways of doing it. You know, you don't always have to, like, I need to be front in line. No, you don't. I've been, like, wandering into panels.
Yeah, and, it's a panel. I went to last minute. I was like, oh, I've got what panel?
What one?
George Takei.
Uh-huh.
So I took, you know, I was like, I started last night, I was going to go to this panel, and literally, they'd let everybody in. I sat in the back, they had video screens up, I could see him on stage, but, you know, it was like, okay, he's far away, but yeah. I could see on the side screens, it was perfectly fine. And and here's the big secret, right, and John will probably know this, because he's smart about stuff like this, is when you go to some of these ballrooms, the farther back you sit, the better the sound is.
Yeah.
Even though you can see them, you can't hear shit because a lot of those rooms weren't made to be acoustically okay.
Right.
So like any of those large rooms that they have at the Hyatt, I sit in the back because the acoustics are better. If you're going to the Sheraton and you go in those rooms, and the closer you are to the stage, there's an echo, so it's better to sit in the back. You know, it's not the tech people at Dragon Con's fault. Those people do a great job, the tech ops people.
Yes, they do.
And they bust their ass. But those rooms were not necessarily made for great sound. Now, to be fair, when you fill them with 2,000 people, that helps equalize it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think you're right. I think you can go and see a great panel in the back of the room and be fine.
Oh, yeah.
I went to one of the next-gen reunion panels,
mm-hmm,
and sat in the back, and it was perfectly fine.
Yeah. The only one I actually did stand in line, and it wasn't that long, was the Malcolm McDowell and David Warner. That was great. That was an awesome, awesome panel. Because it's like, you know, we don't this was 1979, people. We don't remember that film. It was, you know, the drug age time, and I married Mary Steenburgen and got two children out of it.
Who was that? Was that Malcolm?
Yes, yes. And they were great because the I don't know the commentator, you know, the interviewer guy, but I guess he knew both of them.
Anthony Taylor.
He was really good. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. There was this guy. This is the funny part. He gets up. And he asked, actually, he's like, I watch this movie all the time. I can quote it. And he starts quoting it. And he's like, what do you need us for? Just hire this guy. You know, it was a lot of fun. You know, they got into it. It was really good. You know,
and David Warner had a good time. Somebody booked my panel at the same time, so I couldn't go to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
But Anthony's awesome.
Yeah.
And actually, I'll tell you later how the whole panel thing.
And CCH Pounder just loves my bike. If she wants to buy it, I'll think about selling it to her. Because she took my picture. Oh, and like my highlights were actually the guy that does the Atlanta Fashion Police photos. He took my photo. So I don't know when it'll
go
up. So I'm happy about that. Actually, there was a cool thing. Here's the thing, people, is there's so much other stuff going on that, okay, yeah, there's a crowd and stuff, but there's always something to do. It's like for $20, you can go to the Mad Scientist with a camera, and he had this really cool setup off to the side on the music level of the Marriott. Nice little alcove that you can do three poses for $20. And this guy is a great photographer. So I got my portraits done. And
is
he's
that
like,
the one you had posted on Facebook?
Yeah. Okay. I told him, I said, I want a classic portrait. And he was like so thrilled because everyone else is like doing like this one guy before me. He was posing, you know, he had his Loki outfit, and he would like do these spins so that when he stopped, that was the action pose. And it like took almost like 20 minutes. And, you know, and I said, I just want a classic pose. I just said, I just want something classic. He's like, oh, okay, awesome. So it was fun.
Yeah,
it was
the other advice I want to give people for Dragon Con 2 is if you can find time, do something else around the con.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, it was great because we did The High, which we do every year.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but apparently when we went to see Girl at the Pearl Earring, that was, like, one of the few days that there weren't, like, hundreds of people in that room.
No. And the funny thing is I thought it was – Cheryl and I thought it was, like, the last day. It's still going on for, like, till the end of this month.
Yeah, but still, so, it was
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of crowd. No, it was a Thursday.
There was 15.
Yeah. So there was, like, no crowd. It was great. And they always have a great exhibit right around Dragon Con. Actually, they have great exhibits anyway. But Aaron and them went to the aquarium. They loved that. So
yeah, I went to the Botanical Garden because they have this really cool thing right now where this guy has made sculptures. Like, he made an ogre, he's made a unicorn, he's made, like, two fish in a rotating fountain that spit out water and some other stuff. It's my cover photo for Facebook, but he basically made these, like, garden sculptures of just weird. They have this really cool one of I'll have to send you the pictures, Rox, but it's basically, they did the whole thing of basically a woman lying down on the grass, and basically you see her head. And you see all the stuff around her, and it's just huge. It's like, it was awesome.
Where was that at?
The Atlanta Botanical Garden.
Oh, I love that.
And I hadn't been there since the Chihuahua show. Yeah, so, but it's really, really good. Because my other Lee, who I know, took us around. And I know my friend Alan took Sylvester and Peter around on Tuesday to see stuff in Atlanta because they didn't have anything planned. And so they got to see the city, too. And if you can find a way.
Rob, you're going away.
Hey, but you sound way better, Widge.
Oh, good.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, good.
No, but if you can find a way to get around, it's totally worth it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you know what?
I found out that biking to Little Five is actually not that bad. I was always going, like, up Peachtree or up Piedmont, down that horrible Ponce de Leon.
Did you go through Auburn?
No. So I go to Outback Bikes because I smashed my bike light. So a little nod to Outback Bikes. I bought a new bike light because, you know, I bike at night. And I'm like, hey, is there an easier way of getting back into town? So this guy whips out this cool map biking in Atlanta. And he's like, oh, just go down Highland. And I'm like, you're kidding me. He's like, no. Yeah. I'm like, holy crap. It goes right to, you know, our hotels. I'm like, holy crap. So awesome. Thank you, Outback Bikes. They were super nice.
Yeah, all those businesses in Little Five are just amazingly cool.
Yes.
And if you can get to the Carlos, too, which is at Emory University, if you're into, like, you know, ancient art and stuff, it's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Which rock thinks you'll have to take you because their totem poles are badass.
Ooh, yeah. So Widge, how was your con?
And unless I'm not mistaken, is that a sexual reference?
Oh, sorry. No. Yes, yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
I figured that the soundboard was still resting, so.
Oh, it's not. Here it is.
Oh.
Harder. Oh, my God.
Oh, welcome back. Can I just say that it was a bit of a revelation that the show of shows, which I thought was very well received, and I think everybody had a good time. I think people were more happy to hear the soundboard live than they were to see us. Because every single time the soundboard spoke up, everyone, like, cheered.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, they don't care about us.
I don't know.
Anyway. So, no,
would you say that is outrageous?
My mom was thrilled that, you know, everybody yelled hi to her. She liked that.
Oh, good. What were you saying, John?
I was just asking if you would quote that as being outrageous.
No, John, I would not.
So anyway, Widge.
So I am now drinking, having finished the awesome Canadian beer.
Widge!
Yes.
What?
I've been sitting here trying to open a beer bottle since the beginning of this podcast. I cannot find my stinking thingamadoohickey.
Your children stole it.
Okay,
well, that's karma.
John, that's karma. John,
yes.
I think forget your stinking thingamadoohickey and instead look for a beer opener.
Oh!
I am now drinking an Aloha Series Pipeline Porter made with Hawaiian Kona coffee.
Ooh, okay. Wow. And
is it a cornucopia of good taste?
It is, as the bottle says, liquid aloha.
Wow.
This is apparently a seasonal thing that I was like, oh yeah, give me some of that coffee. You know me and coffee, but it's got a nice light, fizzy, yet deep coffee taste at the same time. I dig it.
Oh.
All right, so necessity is the mother of invention. I'm trying to open this up now with a paint can opener.
You're kidding.
Hold on a second. You know what I just realized? At the top of the paint can opener actually is a bottle opener. What does that say about paint can openers?
Sad. John, you fail.
John, I think you've had enough.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
I got to show. I don't know if you've ever seen a paint can opener, but it actually literally has a bottle opener. Why would a paint can opener need. You know
because
why?
What are you going to do while you're painting other than drink?
Exactly.
There you go.
You got to do something while you're waiting for the paint to dry.
So Widge?
Yes, Rob.
I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but that beef jerky that we had at our documentary panel was the most excellent.
Well, that's
oh my
siege.
God, yeah. Oh,
that's
my God.
And that fudge?
Oh, and that fudge is amazing. Here's, oh, no. You know what? To top it all off, though, all we needed was... Okay, we did have Mighty Bill's big flask of apple pie. We would need Mighty Bill's, I don't know, the fruit in alcohol, which is freaking amazing. That would have topped it all off.
I think I'm coming pretty good.
Yeah, so that was Siege's jerky, and his lovely wife, Emily, she makes the espresso fudge.
Oh, my God, that fudge is so awesome. It really is.
Yeah. So yeah, and no, my con.
Oh
was
no,
good.
Hold on. We did get cookie. We did get cookies from Peter White, and those are always good.
Mm.
Yes,
indeed.
Yes.
Although I did oh God, I didn't get my Cthulhu this year. I realized that.
You know what we need to do? We just need to mention large corporations. Just send us stuff, and we'll mention it.
Yeah.
Maserati.
The day I got home, I was checking email, and there was my email from a hand gel company saying, "Oh, we got your request for hand gel. Who should we follow up with?"
For hand gel?
Hand gel for the Night of a Thousand Fist Bumps.
Oh, wow. Of which...
We never recorded.
No, but Rob and I were separately counting and then counting, so we are close to 1,000.
I want official documentation. Next year, documentary.
Yeah, all right, John. I don't know.
We're glad you didn't do a documentary this year, because...
Somebody's
got really dark.
After
it
the
got
following,
really dark.
Where did everyone go after the following? Everyone just disappeared.
God.
Because I don't know what's happening.
It's like, I don't know. Oh, my God. Okay, speaking of the following.
The Scuttlebutt. By the way, let me just scroll.
The Scuttlebutt of the following.
Scuttlebutt Brewing Company 777 Belgian Style Ale is absolutely delicious. Okay.
Nice. Yeah. Although, I will say that a picture that I pinned to Pinterest earlier of Metamorpho fist-bumping George Perez is pretty awesome.
George Perez wanted a picture with me, just so you know.
Well, of course he did, because you're from the warehouse.
So, anyway. So, we had the following. Okay. We did that on how cults are created and what you should do and stuff like that.
Right.
And remember when Lee made the mention of she trusts her son, but she doesn't trust us, correct? Remember that?
The world, yeah.
Or the world,
yeah. We're in the world, yes.
We're in the world. So, the next day... whatever day it was, Sunday. Yeah. I was having breakfast with Peter White. And he was going off. I was going off. I was passing this table. There was a young girl, a mom and somebody else. And the little girl jumps up. She's like, "I want to get a picture of her," meaning me. And I'm walking by. I'm like, "Oh, hey." And I'm like, she's like, "Oh, I like your outfit. You know, I want a picture." I'm like, she's like, "Mom, can I get a picture of her?" And I'm like, "Oh, you know, it would be really cool. You get a picture with, you know, me and the bike." She's like, "Oh, can I?" And the mom's like, "Yeah, go ahead." I take 2 steps and I'm like, holy crap. You know, here's this mom. She's still eating. And I'm like just about to usher this kid out to the main area of this was at Sears. So they always have a parking space for me, you know, where you come in.
Of course.
And, but I'm thinking, holy crap, this thing that just popped in my head of what Lee said, I could like take this child and the mom is sitting there eating. I turn around. I'm like, how about this as an idea? I said, why don't you come with us and your daughter can get in the picture too. And she said, oh, that's a great idea. But here it is, this adult thinking, hey, here's this person. She's got a hat on. What could be the problem? I'm just saying. So,
well, see,
that's
Rox,
what happens when you watch shows like The Following and no, somebody Rox. Else brings up this stuff. What?
No, no, no. Rox, even more than that was, there's something weird about, cause Rox, you've watched Luther, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What is it about, am I the only one, John, have you seen Luther?
Yes, I, well, I haven't watched a second season yet, surprisingly.
Okay, well, there's a third season as well, there's but I'm not giving anything away.
Okay.
I'm not giving anything away. And Rob, you've seen Luther, right? Rob?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right.
We would have to take away his Brit Trek status if
Rob
quickly changes his title, his answer to no, I haven't seen it.
There is a bit in Luther where the bad guy like walks into somebody's house because they don't have the door locked. And I'm like, you're in fucking London. What the fuck? And there's another bit where he just opens a car door and goes into a car and starts wailing on people. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay, well, hold on. First of all, there are parts of London where you can still do that. Notting Hill, for example, is really weird because...
Hold on a minute.
It's really weird because, like, Notting Hill... I was talking to Noel Clark about this. Notting Hill, for example, you go down half of Notting Hill, and it's all Richard Clark with posh houses. People leave their doors unlocked. It's a very nice suburban neighborhood. You cross one street, and you're in Detroit.
Oh, so you mean no one's around? Everyone's moved out.
That's right. Yes.
Well,
it's empty buildings.
But
so it's like the actual
RoboCop is there.
Cars, RoboCop remake.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Rich. Cars are so expensive in that city because you have to park them and drive them around, and there's so much money to insure that sometimes if people were to say want their car to get stolen to get a better one with the insurance, they would leave it unlocked.
Oh yeah.
No.
Have you seen? I've seen that even
thing.
In New York City.
Hang on, New York City.
Whoa.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Time out though. I'm talking about they're driving the car. They're just stopped at a light, and the scene where a guy walks up, opens the back of the car, and gets in and just starts killing people with a hammer.
I know, but see, the thing is they're not here.
Well, first of all, I mean, the English have not really had, except for maybe the last 10 years, a lot of street crime like we would normally think of. It's a fairly new phenomenon still. It's maybe the last 15 years.
Yeah, I know that damn Jack the Ripper, he did all of his work inside.
That's right. Lock up your whores!
Oh, you didn't mean doors? Oh, I thought I misunderstood you.
Well, you know, they're unlocked. You just walk in.
Scotland Yard of Parsec.
When the horse of perception
are
open.
Is this why we don't get a Parsec nod?
Yes.
This is why we can't have nice things. I blame Doc. It's all of his scripting that's...
I know.
Oh, I don't know. I think Doc puts a certain bit of realism into it and grit, you know. So,
but it's us that make
it. And I totally didn't thank Lee for giving me a ride to the airport yet, so I want to do that too, because she was awesome.
Oh, that was nice.
And of course, he thinks about this when I'm talking about cars being unlocked and people coming into them and wailing on them with a hammer.
Or when you're talking about whores. But certainly one of the two.
Now, wait a minute.
Or strange, family members thinking, yes, just go off with
I'm just interpreting. That's all.
Hat.
You want me to put the hammer down?
Yes. But to a certain extent, that like just person to person violence is up, but it's just so uncommon there. I mean, like here we wouldn't think of it, but there they just don't think of it.
But Rob, here's my thing. It's like it's not even that I'm not even thinking more along the lines of like actual violence. I'm more thinking of I've seen enough horror movies to. All right, let me tell you something. There is. I will drive, like, you know, at night out to go, like, get a Coke or go get, you know, go to Starbucks, a 24-hour Starbucks up the way or something, like, just to get out of the house, you know, because I need to, like, sit outside the Starbucks and ride it for a bit, something. So I drive out, and there's a corner that I get past my house. And I'm about to turn towards, like, the main drag where you get onto the interstate and stuff like that. And it's a dark corner.
Oh, I thought you said coroner the first time.
No, no, yeah, the coroner's right
there. Well, yeah, you know, Widge has to visit the coroner just like as much as I do.
He's he's a very, very tall man, John.
He personally visits everyone that used to be on the podcast. And if they don't come back next week, that's where they are. We're just visiting them in the corner.
And there's this floating sphere that, never mind. So anyway.
But boy!
Oh God, I hated that movie. But I was just—it was too weird. I need to go back and watch it now with
my
the.
My God, how could I hate that film?
No, hang on. I watched it when
it's
I was very young.
I'm not fucking kidding.
Thank you, Neil. But I think maybe I didn't appreciate its surrealistic nature at the time. Yeah. You know,
I'll have to watch it with you.
Okay, that's you know what, Rox? We should record a commentary.
God, we could.
Hell yes. All right, so. But anyway, so I stop at the light, waiting to turn left, and I swear to God, because I've seen way too many movies, I just anticipate some guy rushing up to my, because I got the window down, arm hanging out of the car, I'm anticipating a guy with a machete jumping out of the bushes and whacking my arm off. Not whacking me off.
And unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
No, actually severing my arm with a large bladed weapon.
Wow.
So, but that's because Rox, I've seen way too many movies. So,
well,
like,
see, here's the thing. I too have seen those films, and I don't let them, like, conquer me.
She just uses them as guidelines.
Correct.
No, Rox.
Correct.
No. I wouldn't. I'm not conquered. I'm just sitting there thinking that. You know, it reminds me, I'm constantly reminded of the bit in Salem's Lot, the book, which was brilliant in that you have the female protagonist who has got a flashlight and is going down in the basement to check on a noise.
You said flashlight, not fleshlight, right?
That's right.
Okay.
I think this predates the fleshlight.
I think so, 20 years.
Maybe well, in the new version with it predates. Maybe in the new version where, you know what? I know what it is. It's instead of Rucker Hauer as Barlow, it would be Ron Jeremy in the
in the oh my god. Ew.
Yep.
Well, you would find him in the hedge. Hog.
What? So.
What if Ron Jeremy played Quasimodo sometime?
Oh my god.
He probably has. Just nothing we've seen lately.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Anyway, so Sanctuary.
It's as long as on the ground.
I must go ring the bell. End. She's going down the basement and she stops and realizes, you know, I've seen movies where there's some chick going and doing this, and I'm screaming at the screen, telling her, "What the hell are you doing? You're going down the basement to check a noise when something scary's happening," and here I am doing the same damn thing. So I sort of think about that, going, "Wow, you know." I'd hate to be that guy who is, you know, seen all the horror movies and yet goes, "Oh, this strange noise outside on the back porch. Let me just not check the shade and open the door. Oh, I'm being killed."
See, that's where you carry your own little hatchet.
Yes.
Like an
apparently there are people that commit murders all the time and don't get caught.
That's a sexual reference?
Yeah, but she's on the podcast. What about the rest of them?
Hey, you can't prove anything.
I know. Oh, my God.
Rox, you heard that guy talk at the fist pump thing, right?
Why is it always cock with you?
Oh, my God, Rob's new
That
friend.
Was like the weirdest.
Holy
no, that
shit.
Was like the weirdest part of
oh
the Night of a Thousand Fist Pumps is that Rox and I both, we found someone that completely left Rox and I speechless.
Speechless.
Whoa, what?
Speechless. Like,
okay,
speechless.
Rob?
Like, oh,
wait.
Hold on. First
away.
Of all.
Hang on. Rob,
first of all.
Rob, you are one
all.
Thing. Rock speechless is a completely different thing. Tell me all about this starting now.
Well, you
not only did he leave us, not only did he leave us speechless, but he left us both with a what the fuck face.
It's okay. Like, okay, you know crazy, and then you know
crazy.
Crazy.
Yes.
This was that.
Oh, Patsy.
This was that. Rob, go ahead. Because I kind of wandered into this.
Yeah, I'm walking by, and this guy points at me, and he goes, it's
oh,
the
no,
bike
actually,
girl.
Yeah, go ahead.
He goes, it's the bike girl and the Doctor Who guy. And I go, hey, what's up?
Isn't and, that a Zoo Crew morning duo?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, we fight crime. Or do we? But no, so this guy had like a football jersey on, and he's like, he's talking.
It was
and like
Liverpool
you're...
or something, wasn't it?
No, it was Manchester. It was Manchester,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I was like, I heard his accent. He goes, hey, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, you're from the north. He goes, yeah. He goes, I'm from Manchester. He goes, oh, you're a Manc. He goes, yeah, I killed a man once. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, he's drunk or whatever. And then he's like, no, really. And then I look at Rox, and Rox sort of looked at me, and he's like, I went to a Manchester versus Man City match, and this guy was just annoying the shit out of me. So I stabbed him, and then he starts talking about how he actually stabbed him and the color of his intestines and everything else. And then I threw him in the Thames. We're like, okay. At this point, Rox and I are like...
Okay, hold on. That's not one of those moments, okay? I'm just saying. Because...
I was putting my shades on and everything.
I mean, the thing is there was a thing that he said to Rob. He's like, what did he say? He's like, you said, yeah, yeah. And he's like, don't test me or something. It was
he's like, oh, I shouldn't have told you. I was like, oh, man, it's Dragon Con. Everybody talks crazy shit.
It's Dragon Con. You can admit to murder.
Like, and he's like, I'm not crazy. I'm like, don't worry about it. You're not going to call the authorities, are we? And I'm like, you're in the United States. The jurisdiction is completely different. And he's like, oh, yeah, right. And I'm like, he goes, oh, really? You're not going to tell anyone? Because I'd hate to have to come looking for you guys. And I'm like, dude, I think we got a little...
I'm sorry. I had the wrong theme music playing. Here we go.
Yeah, there you
go. I say, this body that's
like,
I will have to come looking for you.
It's like they should make a fucking version of Clue with Dragon Con.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like it was Danger Woman, you know, in the Brit track with the lead pipe, or you know, something crazy like that.
But yeah, this guy
or
was,
a porn.
This guy was
certainly
cray.
One of the two.
This guy was cray, not cray cray. Yeah. He was cray.
He was a supercomputer.
No, he was crazy. And the next day I'm at brunch. Right, I'm getting breakfast. I turn my tray, and I turn the corner. He's like, "Hey, good seeing you last night." I'm like, "Ah!"
And Rob, he's on the call now. John, bring him on.
Yes, here he is, right?
Yeah. It was weird because I think I actually asked Rox. I'm like, did I actually hear that?
I'm like, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And the thing is, here's the funny part. His girlfriend was kind of dressed up.
Please tell me the funny part.
Well, he tells Rob... And here it's noisy. We're in the Marriott. And he's like, and I haven't told my girlfriend. And she's standing less than 5 feet from us. And she's less like oblivious. And I'm like, oh, dear God, she's going to die. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's funny because, like, first of all, we're in our business. We don't care, too. We're not going to call it anyway.
Rob, stop speaking through your old-timey megaphone.
Yeah. No, I said, you know, first of all, you're in the United States, so nobody's really going to care. Second, you're probably, your term limits is up on it. And, you know,
I believe murder does not have a...
At least here it doesn't.
Statute of limitations.
I don't want him to have to stop to think about it. So...
Yeah.
All of a sudden,
get out of there safely.
It's like The Hitcher starring Rick Mayall.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That'd
I was
awesome.
Doing him last. What?
Never mind.
What was that?
Q. I was doing him last.
Okay.
So even if he didn't do it, this guy was crazy. That he didn't.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy for murdering and throwing people in the Thames.
Oh, Patsy. Oh, Patsy Cline.
Yeah, Rox is gonna hire him out to whack Brian.
No, I'm not. No.
Different kind of whack, though.
No, those are the type of people you don't hire.
No, this is this
yeah, he's
is
sloppy
because kind of
he's talking too much.
Yeah,
no,
that's
this
right.
Is the kind of, this is the kind of guy you find Vinnie Jones and say, please don't leave my side. That's
it's like, where are you going? Where are you going?
But beyond that one thing, he was like pleasant.
He was polite.
He was manners.
Yep. Yeah, because you guys almost started talking about football and everything, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't care. For all I know, he could have been completely fucking with us, too. But
yeah, this is true.
But it was pretty convincing.
Yeah.
It takes some serious conviction to out-convict Rox.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. Yes, indeed.
Because when Rox's radar says, stay away, then you're like, wow.
Yeah. Always believe your inner instinct, people.
Yeah, because I called Janet the next day. She's like, so how was your evening? I said, well, Rox and I met a guy that creeped us both out. She's like, does that happen?
I know. I mean, how is that possible? That's so weird.
Yeah. Well, it was funny in the Dragon Con Facebook web section of Facebook. Some people were like, hey, how about the homeless people? Were you guys hit up on by the homeless and da 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 da? I'm like, I always chat with the homeless because, A, you got a bike, they all want to chat, whatever. I said, I'm always congenial and I always tell them I traffic in plastic. And I said, I'd be screwed when one of them whips out one of those little square readers. Then be like, oh, damn. Sorry. I forgot my plastic.
Next year, just put them all on a parade float.
Well, the other thing, too, is you could get some of the... there's a place that actually makes the currency from Game of Thrones. So you just have a little bit of that. Have a little bit of that in your pocket.
Oh, my God.
Like,
ducat. Do you want a ducat? Here's a ducat for you.
That'd be awesome.
Yes. Oh, you know what was really one of the funny things? I was in the dealer room. Did anyone make it to the dealer room?
I did for like 1/8 of it.
Actually, technically, Widge is still stuck in the dealer room. It's actually sort of a vortex.
That's why my bandwidth was so shit early.
I don't know why after, I don't know, 25 years and Dragon Con gives out dealer money because every year somehow I'm in an area where they have to announce to dealers this certificate is called dealer money, will reimburse you. Nobody ever gets that memo. 25 years, just give out cash. You know, if it's the masquerade, just give out cash, people. Don't do the whole dealer money that you have to explain to the dealers that, yes, you will get your money, even though it's a piece of paper and it represents nothing, whatever. Just give out cash to these people who actually spent like a year and a half making a costume.
Yeah. Or a preset debit credit card. Give them that.
Right,
at least,
yeah. Don't give out dealer credit things because dealers don't understand it.
They're still on the feudal system.
Because they went, I'm sure that some poor winner went up to somebody and he's like, here's my dealer. Because you know what? I had dealer cash one time because I won in 1997. It was a tournament for Illuminati and I won first prize. So I had like $25 in dealer money. It's like, had to go up to the guy. I'm like, hey, this is dealer money. I want that shirt. What's dealer money? I'm like, well, it's Dragon Con money I won, and here's a certificate, and it took like 20 minutes to tell this guy, hey, I won this. This is dealer money. You'll get money from Dragon Con.
And can we at least call it something cooler like Dragon Con script? I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Or something, yeah.
Something.
Or Dragon Dollars or something.
Ooh, Dragon Ducats.
Ducats, yes.
You'd be dropping the
So every just give out cash. It's not like they don't have cash. It's not like Dragon Con does not have cash. Just give out cash to the winners. It's it will save everybody any heartache.
Can we talk about the dealer room for just a second?
Sure.
Yeah.
It took me about 5 minutes in dealer room to employ, and I'm surprised most of the folks at Dragon Con didn't do this, to employ dungeon crawl rules, which is just keep the right-hand side wall on your right-hand side. You will get through everything.
Correct.
Yeah.
But everyone's complaining that they were getting lost and everything else. Just they didn't get to see everything and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Let's just follow one path and be done with it.
Hey,
I
actually took my bike in. I took my bike everywhere. I utilized my bike. I actually scooted and nobody said a word. I was practically riding my bike through the hotel.
I know that it was a bit different than how it had been in the past, but I actually didn't mind it.
No, I didn't either. Actually, I was in front of two drag queens in the dealer room, and I was actually making way for them because one was massively tall. She had this really cool steampunk outfit, and I said, and she had this fan. She was fanning herself. I said, "I'm wearing wool. If that makes any, if that makes you feel any better."
I'm an incredibly hetero white dude. So is it really a she?
From what I talked to, just from somebody, I asked about that. I said, "When they're dressed up, would you call? So basically, if a drag queen is dressed up, you call them a she."
Okay.
I might be wrong, I'm sorry if I made it. But somebody told me, if a person is dressed up as a female, you call them a she.
Well, that's Scott.
It wasn't Scott. I asked Peter about that, and he said a she.
How very appropriately named. Yeah.
No, Peter White.
I know who
we're
it
having
is.
Breakfast.
I know who it is.
All right. Anyway, I asked. So if I'm wrong, I apologize. I'm doing that now.
We've been here
this
for
is
five
a well
hours.
Scripted
you want to do
show.
Introductions now?
So we can get our parsec.
Well, we're a little short on research staff right now, too, because they're all getting ready for doing vacations. So.
Yeah. So anyway, I was actually making way for people with my bike. So.
Did you use the bell?
Nice. Yeah, no, I didn't have to. That, to me, was a little bit, of a nuisance to do that.
Well,
so,
really, that bike is famous, and the drag queens are pretty much just bodyguards, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But the one had a really cool steampunk outfit. It was really cool. And apparently, she was very famous because she had to leave and go perform at one of the known bars. And she didn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, that's cool. So,
as opposed to one of the unknown bars.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
the missing
I would know.
The bars of mystery.
But she was funny, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So, but yeah, Don over at T-Shirt Bordello said he did really well.
He had a good spot.
He was near one of the opening. He was near the. Here's a trick about the America's Mart. Go through the Westin.
Yep.
Don't go through the outside. Go through the Westin.
Actually, if you go through the outside, don't go through the Starbucks side. Go through the side street side.
Yeah, because there was nobody there. Yeah. I went through. I exited.
And
like,
use the freaking elevators because there's nobody in them.
Oh, I heard. Now, here's the thing.
What is the thing? The thing is that orange guy with the rocks, right?
Well, okay. Most of the time, I can take the bike off in the escalator, and I think they were kind of dicey on letting it on the escalator at the America's Mart. So they're like, "Oh, just take the elevator." They were utilizing the elevator only for handicap at one point.
Really?
Well, on Friday they were.
Yeah, they ditched that on Saturday because Saturday they were calling for people to come into the elevator.
Oh, okay.
Going up, somebody, going down. They had people, they had Dragon Con folks, staff, sitting in four or five of those elevators. And they only had to go one floor up, one floor down, one floor up, one floor down. So, yeah, they were constantly.
But here's the thing.
I didn't even.
Widge, you were at Dragon Con like in 90 something when they used to utilize the America's Mart.
I was there for 1 year when they used America's Mart.
I was there for like at least two years when they used it.
Yeah, I barely remember that.
But I mean, there was room. I mean, they used it all the time. I mean,
the first floor was the worst, actually. It seemed like that.
It was a lower ceilinged floor.
Well, it wasn't even just that. It was like I think the aisles, even though they may have been larger, they seemed smaller on the first floor. But I will say it was kind of cool that they had that extra space because I don't know if you checked out. Did you check out Geek Chic or Shake Chic? Cheek geek. Anyway, it was the woodworking folks.
Oh my God!
Yeah, those were awesome, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh,
you could buy from this company. You could buy a custom gaming table.
Oh, and it was so
all
freaking
sorts
awesome.
Of accoutrements for your home if you're one of those wealthy geek.
Yeah, I know because they're all handmade wood. It's like
I'm available.
I think the minimum order there was like $1,200 or something.
Yeah.
Damn.
And, oh my God! But they're fabulous.
But it was. Oh, it's such awesome craftsmanship. I don't know if you saw the armoire type thing that had
yes.
like the place for the comic books and your card games
comic
and everything.
Books
oh,
and
it was beautiful.
Books, card catalog. Oh my God, yes.
They had these tables that you could use as a table, but then the tops would peel off so that you could have your games underneath and always like if you had
so
like
if you're
miniature
playing
games.
A campaign. This is the cool part. If you're playing, I don't know, I think you could even fit in a Axis and Allies board into it.
Oh yeah, certainly.
So if you have an ongoing campaign game, just put the top back on and there you go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's freaking yeah. it was amazing. The craftsmanship there was just freaking awesome.
Fabulous.
But in the old place they wouldn't have been able to put that in.
No,
no. It was too much space that it took up.
Yes. Yeah. So they actually had like this whole cool little wing for them. So yeah, no, that you know. So, but here's the thing about the dealer room in general, and I've said this for the last I don't know 5 years, since the internet and stuff, you used to go to conventions. Especially the dealer room to look for deals, which you really don't get anymore because they want you to go online and stuff, you know. I mean, I know certain places, like I found like one company had like $10 t-shirts. It's like, oh, okay, I need, oh, look, I have a Artifacts
Where was Artifacts
Roadshow. I don't know. It's one of those you walk by and $10 t-shirts. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I couldn't tell you. Because here's the thing. You look at that map. I actually had to ask some girl. I'm like, can I borrow your book? I can't see where. I was trying to find the jewelry company so I could replace my Miskatonic University ring. They were up on the second floor. The Bedai, whatever that company name is. And they were up on the second floor and they were like next to this guy who was selling old Geiger counters and crap next to
him. I saw the Geiger counter guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like
that thing went off like a siren when I passed by. I don't know why, but go on.
But anyway, the jewelry company was like right next door and they were kind of a little cramped upstairs, but downstairs seemed like it had more room.
Well, I'd just like to point this out to the geek cheek people or whatever it is.
Yes, I'm about to say the same thing. Go on.
Yeah, yeah. If you need a hosting company that'll actually make sure you're not blowing up, let me know. My rates are very reasonable.
Because, internal server error on every single thing you click is a bad idea.
No, it's not good.
Yeah.
Why have our sales dropped off? I don't know.
I don't know.
Every time someone clicks on furniture, nothing happens. But if you could see the furniture, Widge, it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So
I didn't really buy
that much at the dealer room. I did buy some pieces of artwork, though, in the art show and the artist alley area.
Oh, my God. See, I wish I could see a close-up of this. The GM's valet. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Oh, God, they have some really nice woodwork. If only their website worked. Internal
John,
server.
Would your wife even let you buy anything from there? It is nicely.
You know what? Actually, now that I've got my my door up. By the way, I have a door up in my studio now, so the kids, no one else can hear me scream when you guys kill me. I could actually put one of those tables up here.
Wow.
Except I can't afford them.
Yeah, I know. I was just looking, thanks to the wonder of Google caching, I was able to look and see that the base price of the GM's valet is $950.
Again, beautiful craftsmanship, and that comes at a price.
And you can get bespoke stuff that's handcrafted personally for you for a bazillion dollars, I'm sure.
I'm sure that there are
plenty of guy who would make a desk for $9.50.
Previously on desk. Actually, that would be the one desk that wouldn't happen on.
Wait, no. John, play the Masterpiece Theater music again.
Okay, hold on one second, sir.
All right, hang on.
There we go. And cue.
Previously on Desk UK.
Hold on, let's try that again. Hold on one more time.
All right.
Cue that up again. It's a little too loud. All right. Take two, sir.
I got it. Previously on Desk UK.
All right. Very well done, sir.
Excuse me.
What I really wanted to do, John, is for...
It's a wooden monocle. John,
yeah.
The monocle would be awesome.
The monocle's a sexual reference, I believe.
Yeah. The monocle John, is a foe of the Justice Society.
I really wish that we had your soundboard for the theater. Ghost.
What? Go on.
I wish we had the soundboard for the Peter Davison panels, because then every time after he answered a question, we'd get play that little beep from the Law & Order thing, because he's on Law & Order UK.
That one? Or the other one?
The other one.
Which I have, but it's not loaded
the
right now.
The da-da thing, yeah.
Dun-dun.
Yeah, that thing.
Is he on Law & Order UK?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't watch Law & Order UK because I stopped watching Law & Order about year 15.
Well, Law & Order UK is actually really good.
Yeah, he's
anything like Law
&
Order? Yeah, Law & Order was fine too. It's just that, you know, after a certain amount of years.
No. Well, I mean, Law & Order UK is awesome because they've taken the same scripts and Britified them.
They just wear wigs. They put on wigs.
That and they've added CCTV because that's everywhere. And it's much more cinematic than more cinematically shot.
So it's Person of Interest then.
I wouldn't know. Well, I've not seen Person of Interest.
But they get the other cool thing they do is that Davison was saying that, you know, part of the reason he did it, and some of these other guys, they get the guest stars they get and the actors they get is because they get all theater actors that are performing in the West End. And they'll be like, so you've got a show Thursday and Friday in the evening. Why don't you come around in the afternoon and film an episode of Law & Order for us? And then they've got these great actors on their afternoon off from theater who can, you know, do a day's work and make some extra money. And that's why they get such good actors for
them. That's what they did in New York.
It's like, you know, did anyone watch Broadchurch?
Yes.
Okay. I just finished it. It's really, it's very cinematic. And when you consider this village is pretty much a character, you know, it's pretty much part of this whole show. And this is why I had a problem with Under the Dome and the way CBS just films stuff like it's Murder, She Wrote. I just hate it. It's just like they made Broadchurch so it's a horrible story, but it's beautifully photographed. The cinematography for this 8-hour, you know.
Yeah.
Series is so sort of very amazing.
So it's Life of
Pi. The actors are good.
Yes. Oh yeah. I mean, it's really a cool switch when you have David Tennant and what's his name,
Arthur Darvill.
Playing, you know, acting off of each other kind of different roles.
Did you say Greta Garbo?
No.
Arthur Darvill.
Oh, okay.
Off. And it's one reason I can't watch CBS shows.
Oh, is he in Broadchurch?
Yeah.
Greta Garbo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Now I have to watch it.
Yes. It's really good.
He's great in it.
It's heartbreaking, but yeah, you got to watch it.
I'm not caught up on Law and Order UK. I just saw Patterson Joseph has been in the last two seasons.
Yeah, he's great.
I fucking love Patterson Joseph.
Could have been Doctor Who.
It's okay. It's all right.
So yeah.
There will be a time.
Broadchurch, watch that. Oh, there's a other sort of UK. There's Silk. Are you watching that, Rob?
Which one?
It's on Masterpiece Theater. It's about the
is that
barrister.
Lady Vanishes?
Yeah. No, I've got that recorded. I've got to watch that. No,
haven't.
It's about sort of a female kind of, you know, Rumpel in a way. That's all I can compare it to.
Huh. Hmm.
But it's an interesting take a little bit. Like this one woman, she's a mule for some Colombians, and basically she's like, no, I want to go to jail. I just need a break for 14 years. So it's an interesting take. You know, it is she's trying to work so she can wear silk. You know, even though she's a working barrister, she hasn't been made it up the ranks so she can wear silk.
Nice. Oh, hey, there's an unrated cut of World War Z that's not shown in theaters. Is this the one that's good? That'd be great.
I doubt it. Recommendation. No.
I recommend World War Z.
I'm going to watch The Last Detective, too, which Peter Davison's in. It was 4 years.
Yeah, I watched the beginning of that, and it was kind of interesting. He plays a good down-and-out kind of guy. Rob, have you heard anything? They had a whole thing on NPR about Toronto's film festival.
Yeah, it could be. What could be really interesting is that we could have two huge, both Cumberbatch. Benedict Cumberbatch has got three movies coming out, but that are all supposed to be amazing performances. But he's playing Julian Assange in this thing called The Fifth Estate.
Yeah, which looks amazing.
Does it? I think it looks horrible.
You what?
I think it looks horrible.
Really? Why?
Well, they said that he's up for an Oscar.
Really?
Here's the thing.
Get an Oscar buzz for it, yeah.
I know, but here's there's that Meryl Streep film. He's in that.
Yeah.
That August.
Yeah. which he would be up for Best Supporting because I think he's got a smaller role.
Yes, but even from the just fraction that he's on.
Yeah, they said there's three films at Toronto that he's in, all of which he could get nominated for.
But you know who else has a ton of films is Daniel Radcliffe.
Are we talking about Into Darkness?
Yeah,
one
that
of them,
guy.
Right?
Yeah, Bond. Yeah, Sherlock.
No, I know who he is. I'm just saying that that's one of the roles he's going to be nominated for, right?
No. The other one is what? What's the other one?
One's August.
Can I?
Something another.
Oh, 12 Years a Slave.
Oh yeah.
Which has been blowing up, and I'm like I do want to see it because I love
the cast looks amazing,
but it looks just so fucking harsh. I'm just like, oh god, I got to be in a particular place to go see that.
Yeah.
I want to slap all of you Atlanta folks.
Why?
What?
Why didn't anybody tell me? First of all, it's a pleasant surprise, but why didn't anybody tell me you have that awesome theater over in Buckhead? The AMC.
What awesome theater? What?
The AMC that's over there.
Oh.
The
AMC.
I don't know what it's called. Hell, I went there to see this is the end. No, World's End. The World's End.
Oh, I went to
what?
I saw that at the World
Station or
the I don't know. It's the one with the assigned seating and the leatherback chairs
the Buckhead backlot or whatever it's called. Something.
I don't know. It's like on the fourth story of some really expensive mall where the Lego is.
The Lennox Mall.
Yeah, where the Lego Discovery is.
Oh, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, it's the Lennox Mall.
There's one in Lennox? There was, but it's been gone for forever.
I don't know. There's names. Either that or I went through a time warp. But, God, the theater's awesome.
Wait a minute. What
I've only heard stories of such theaters.
But the other thing that's interesting is that Matt Smith's getting a buzz. While you look up his theater, Matt Smith is getting a buzz for his movie with Ryan Gosling. And then I think Daniel Radcliffe has, what, five? Is it four or five movies coming out?
I think it's three, actually. He's got Horns coming out. And actually, the funny thing is the people at NPR actually really – now, that's got kind of a mixed review. But I just finished A Woman in Black, and he does a really fine job. And I'll tell you one thing. They did a great job as a Hammer film that I hope the new rendition of Hammer film does – or Hammer – you know, company does really well. He plays, you know, Joe Hill's character, you know, the in that whole book.
Well,
Phillips Plaza, by the way, it's Phillips Plaza 14.
Phipps Plaza.
Phipps, whatever, Phillips.
Oh, wait.
I'm putting words in there.
They've redone that theater?
I had no idea. Fucking awesome. It's got a bar and everything.
Really?
Yeah, they'll come to your desk. Sure, at work, they'll come to your desk. Bring you to the movie theater.
Wow.
Are there one of those AMCs where they bring the food to you and stuff?
Yeah, and they have the recliners that go all the way back. They're big, bushy, and they're assigned seating. You have to actually go to your seat that they give you. We were all confused because all three of us, me, Ron, and Bob, walked in there and we're like, the guy goes, okay, I got three seats next to each other. We're like, what the hell are you talking about? And so then they, and it wasn't expensive either. I think it was like 12 or 14 bucks, which is like a normal price at that time of night for AMC around here. So, they have the gourmet popcorn and the gourmet food and the serve yourself your own Coke thing. The bazillion flavors,
and a bar, and I can't
forget to mention that they have a bar. By the way, they have a bar.
They have a bar for next year. They have a bar,
and it's not a Roseanne one. It's a MacGuffin's.
Nice.
Yeah. They've been putting those in a lot of places here.
Yeah, we have one here too. But it's But
I just
didn't
know they had the
they have
the assigned seats and stuff there.
Oh, with the seats that recline. With the feet that go up. And this little button is electronic, and it goes zzzz, and put your feet up. I'm like, it's awesome.
Wow.
Phipps, why aren't you going there? You should just go there. You'll
you probably
enjoy
should
every,
not watch Terror of the Autons.
So. You will enjoy every movie there, except possibly, what's that one with McDowell? Clockwork Orange, because being reclined might be too personal.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I got to figure out what movie I'm going to see there now.
It's fucking awesome,
John. I've made a golden mile for Dragon Con next year.
You have? Oh, have you? Oh, that'd be awesome. Let's do it.
Jesus,
I'm not going to do it. We'll find somebody else to do it.
Let's do it.
I made one. Yeah.
That means that has to do with peeing, right?
Well, what is it?
Oh no, that's golden shower.
Rob, what is it?
The golden mile.
Yeah.
You haven't seen the Simon Pegg movie yet?
Yes, no, I have.
No. He wants to know what the version. He wants to know what the
Oh, I've got it written down. I'll send you the link. It's basically you start at the bar at the Hyatt, and then there's the bar at
Rob, you're going away again.
You start in the 1930s, and then you can move up.
No. There's a bar at the Hyatt, right? I mean, I cheat. You incorporate some of the bars in the hotel, but there's a bar at the Hyatt.
Right.
They've got that. They got like two or three pubs on Peachtree Street.
Right.
All right. Then you go down on the other side of Peachtree, down by where the Best Western is. They got like three or four down there.
Right.
And you can even walk down. You can go as far down as the Flatiron, actually, and do it all. You can do it all on Peachtree, or you can do it all on Dragon Con.
All right, here it is. Golden Mile to documented Gold Mile into the Night of 1,002 Fist Bumps.
No, they're two separate things.
They have to be separate because we'll be drunk off our asses.
I know. That's why.
Oh, we're not going to do it. We'll get Scott or somebody to do it.
What?
Scott doesn't drink.
Scott will fall over after the first one.
This is true. Exactly.
Scott will
and
be
Larry
the
will too.
Scott will be the kid. He'll just
and do you know we've never none of three. Us have met any of the people he drives up to Atlanta with. Never.
That's because they're invisible.
So I think he shows up by transporter. Just saying, because you know, I had to go do something. And I came back to the room and he was gone. He left a note. I'm like, oh, okay, he's gone.
Oh,
he left
holy shit!
At least he left money for the room service.
As I lay dying, comes out the 27th.
Is it like
Priscilla Queen of the Desert, where he's got a little van that they all drive in up or something?
I don't know.
How far is Phipps from
Scott,
you?
Scott, how come we've never met these people?
I don't know. Rob?
Yeah.
Rob. So here's my question. Here's a movie question for you, oh person who knows movies. When I first saw the trailer for Gravity, the Alfonso Cuarón film with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney in it, you could hear a pin drop from the boredom in the cinema that I was in. It looked like nothing at all. And now all I fucking hear about is how it's amazing and how it redefines cinema and how Sandra Bullock's performance is fucking astounding and it's incredible.
I thought the same thing when I was watching a trailer that looked fairly boring.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
You're much kinder than I am.
I'm so confused. So,
well, I wanted there to be a movie where Sandra Bullock drifts off aimlessly into space.
I wanted that to be a
reality, though.
Wait a minute. Did they do two trailers? Because now it's like you see the trailer with the accident.
No. Even with the accident, I was just like, okay, so this is basically Castaway in space, but it's going to take a lot less time.
No.
Oxygen.
I think it's, what is that? What is that one? That Adrift. The ones where they were the divers and they missed the boat.
Deep Blue or?
No. That's the swimming.
Which I don't. I'm actually trying to not know anything about that before I see it, just because everybody keeps talking about it. I can't imagine it's that good, though. I can't imagine her being like that astounding in it.
Here's the thing: is that I actually think.
In space, no one can see you act, and that's how she is on. Never mind. Go on. Mine was hold on, wait a second. I do got to give myself a cricket.
John, you're the reason why we'll never get a parsec.
But, the cinematography on it looks like it's amazing.
Yeah.
I will give it that. The fact they got NASA and a bunch of, like, those type of people involved in it technically gives it some bounce. But I always thought that it was some sort of, I'm like, okay. This really is like a stranded in space. This is the Poseidon Adventure on a fucking space station. That's what this is. But I thought it was going to be like some weird, you know, tension drama, you know, somebody sabotaged the rocket or something else. I thought it was going to be a completely different thing based on the trailer. Because there's an explosion, you know, what happened, you know, that whole thing.
Open water, by the way. Rocks.
That's
it. Yeah. That's what
Deep
it
Blue.
Is.
No, Deep Blue was the one with Samuel L. Jackson, at least for a little bit.
If you go to Nassau,
Deep Blue
was the Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. If you go to Nassau Watch, Michael,
you can still see Sandra Bullock floating.
Will explain in a video what the trailer gets wrong because he's at NASA.
But you wouldn't hear the explosion
I'll take what is everything for $5,000.
Well, now here's the thing though that I just watched the Daily Show that Michael C. Hall was on, and I did not know about Kill Your Darlings, which was one of the other Daniel Radcliffe films, in which it's basically a murder brings together Allen Ginsberg, Jack Kerouac, and William Burroughs, who are played by, respectively, Daniel Radcliffe, Jack Houston from Boardwalk Empire, badass, and Ben Foster. And I'm like, holy shit. And also in the cast is the Olsen girl who actually acts, and Michael C. Hall.
Is that the one that did or didn't kill Heath Ledger?
Oh, wow. I don't think he... And David Cross.
Well, they were there.
So. Kira Sidgwick. And David Rash, of all people. So I'm like, wow, I can't... That's like an amazing cast. Just to see the three of them as the three poets looks amazing. And then what is it? I've heard nothing but good things about the F word as well.
Yeah.
I did, yes. Well, this doesn't bode well. This is not exactly a thinking person sci-fi picture. Since, well, it features a whole lot more awesome crashes and explosion and meaningful dialogue.
Well, that's, I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just, my whole thing was,
Why can't we have the thinking man sci-fi thing?
We did. It was called Moon.
It's the fall. Yes. It's the
Thank
time
you, John.
For us.
Hang on. Well, John, please say what you said again.
I said we had that. It was called Moon.
Thank you.
Oh, I love Moon. Oh, I do too. Moon.
Yeah, it Sam Rockwell is like his a finest hour among finest hours for that bastard maniac genius guy.
I mean, Gattaca was good too as a thinking man sci-fi too.
Yeah.
So was Galaxy Quest. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
No, Galaxy Quest was fun as hell. Let's be fair.
But not exactly a thinking man sci-fi.
No, but I mean, it at least was fun. It did fun sci-fi.
Probably Tim Allen.
It's very hard to do fun sci-fi.
That's
probably
true.
Tim Allen's
really
best
hard.
Role other than Buzz Lightyear.
What's that?
I said probably Tim Allen's best role other than Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah. Pretty much.
Although that bar is fairly low, so.
Well, no, I mean, the only thing about Moon is that it's Shawshanked by about 5 seconds. That's it. Otherwise, it was perfect. I mean, it was literally perfect.
What do you mean, Shawshank?
Shawshank is a term that I use for the film should have ended before it
did. Oh, okay.
Yeah. By that, I mean, we did not need to. Spoilers, it's been an old film. You should have fucking seen it by now, people, because it's brilliant. But
it's in my top 10.
We did not need to see. No, it's brilliant. It's fucking brilliant. Don't get me wrong. But we did not need to see the two of them cavorting on a beach. We should have just left it with him going, knowing they're going to meet, and just left it alone.
Yeah.
It would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But there was a line, all the throwaway bits of dialogue at the end of Moon. I don't want to spoil it. But there's one line what was just way too on the nose right before the credits. Where I was like, no!
It's a reason why Widge won't watch the following next season.
No. No, I'm going to watch the following. Don't get me wrong. I will give it a chance, just like I gave Leverage a chance, just like I gave Dexter a chance, just like I gave Deadwood way more than a chance.
Seriously. Well, Deadwood, yeah.
Deadwood, the first season, fucking probably the tightest fucking single season I've ever seen.
I contend they never thought they were getting a second season.
I seriously, I mean, it really just.
And then they went third season? What?
I know. Well, I didn't even get to the third season. I honestly didn't. I got to the second to last episode of the second season and just stopped because I lost my will to live.
Here's a hint, Widge. Yeah. Nobody got to the third season.
Yeah. Which is just, but I mean, they brought in Brian Cox. I mean, they brought in Brian Cox.
It actually wasn't bad. I mean, again, I go back to the whole thing I say about like Lost, even though I hated, not that I necessarily hated, but I was disappointed in necessarily the ending. Still a better show than 99% that are on television today.
Yeah, I mean, and my problem is too that I am very, very hard on television because I have so little time to watch it. Yeah, if I had time to like sit around for 3 hours a night watching whatever, then yeah, it would be fine. But I have to pick and choose very carefully what I'm going to get addicted to because I have a very addictive personality. I know that's such a surprise to everybody. Yeah, exactly. But no, I'm like, I love Timothy Oliphant. I fucking love Ian McShane. I mean, Ian McShane in that was like a revelation. But I still could not bring myself to watch any more of it.
Yeah.
Is anybody watching Timothy Oliphant's series?
Justified?
Justified.
Okay, I tried. I started it.
Same here. Go on.
But I have heard that it really got its shit together and is actually quite good.
Right, because that's what I've heard, too. And I watched the first season. I'm like,
I didn't get past the first episode. I was just like, eh.
I watched most of the first season, and I had no desire to watch it again.
Yeah.
I was just like, it's been okay. It's sort of a chore to get through. By the way, Sons of Anarchy restarts tonight. Awesome. But it was sort of a chore to get through. But people that are watching have said that it's awesome. It's one of the best shows on television right now. And I'm like, you sure we're talking about the same thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, oh, speaking of like what? Apparently the remake of Ironside just started.
Oh yeah.
Although Iron Ass.
I haven't watched it, but
so my dad
I've
used
seen the previews for it.
Him.
It's a what's his nose from Law and Order, right? Not Law and Order. What was the LA Law?
Well, it's Blair Underwood.
Blair Underwood, yeah. He was in L.A. Law,
oh,
right?
I like him.
Well, they had like a 1-2 minute teaser, yeah. And I was like, okay, this I could deal with this because I'm like, I'm not married to the original. I mean, I sort of I've seen some of it.
I've heard of it.
I've heard the theme music more than I've seen it, but because it's got fantastic theme music.
Ironside, Iron Ass. Yes,
but
Raymond Burr.
But no, you are right. He.
Wait, I got the theme music right here. Hold on a second.
He was an SVU for like one season.
Oh,
fire!
Never get a Parsec now.
No, we're fucked on the Parsec for another year.
Thanks, John.
God damn it!
We can't have nice. Oh, so they did a teaser trailer for American Horror, and it takes place in...
Jolly old England.
No. Kathy Bates joins it, Catherine Bisset, and, of course, we have the great... What's her name?
What?
The great... What's her name?
American
from,
Horror.
From Hoosier
no,
Knows
no.
the film?
No. I'm like... Oh, wait. I'm looking at the pic. Holy fuck! Oh my sweet Jeebus. That picture alone is scary as shit. I'm looking at
what are we talking about?
No, Kathy Bates, Jessica Lange, and Angela Bassett.
I think we lost Rob.
Hang on. I will get this picture for you.
Yeah, we
oh
lost
Oh my
Rob.
God, why is there a naked Miley Cyrus on my screen? I did not want that E Entertainment. Uh-oh. Fuck you.
Sure it's E Entertainment, Widge. Sure.
No. No. Let me hang on a second. Hang
let
on
me,
a
let
second.
Me just. No. It wasn't.
Oh, no,
it wasn't
no,
me.
Hang on a,
I swear.
Hang on a goddamn second.
I didn't want
second.
This at all.
No. Hang on a goddamn second.
This isn't my screensaver.
No.
It isn't my wallpaper.
Nice. No. God fucking damn it. Hang on. Let me get you. You look at this and tell me.
I'm not giving you it.
No,
I'm not giving you that pleasure.
Look at this. Look at that.
It's
you
child
tell
porn.
Me that there's anything enticing about that picture at all.
Where'd you post it?
In the chat.
When did you give me a picture of a white Grace Jones?
Ha! Exactly! It's like an albino Grace Jones. Oh my God. That is
albino? Is that someone that has bad gas? What is that, albino?
Yes.
Is that the proper pronunciation? Have I been pronouncing it wrong?
Sorry. That's
I thought it was albino.
It's the European pronunciation.
Oh,
I've
okay.
been watching too much British television. And albino just sounds
albino,
cool.
Albino is the mascot for that fart medicine.
Albino is a noir cop in Italian comic books.
Should I try and get Rob back? Probably.
No.
I'm not sure
he and his cousin Alfresco.
Sometimes he drifts away.
Now, I have not seen American Horror Story. I'm assuming...
Oh my God, you're missing out. It's awesome. It's the second season.
I'm sorry, Widge. Yes, you have. The picture you just sent me is American Horror Story.
Well, that is.
Yeah, oh, that's American
is.
Horror Story. Not Horror Story. Never
American
mind.
Horror Story.
I guess he doesn't want to come back online. Okay.
That's fine. That's fine, Rob. We love you.
Whatever. You can do introductions at some point? Or
I guess, supposedly. I'm terrified by Kathy Bates as a witch. I mean, rocks.
Why?
No, because look at her. She looks so pissed off. She's like, "I
well,
will eat your
the,
fucking
the,
face."
I know the thing. The cool thing that they've already kind of leaked a little bit of the storyline. It's like they're all friends. Those three are friends, and then they turn on each other. So of course it's gonna be fucking epic.
Jessica Tandy, is that who you're thinking of? No, that's not
no.
Jessica Tandy.
Jessica Lange.
Who is Jessica? Somebody.
To me, she can out sometimes. All right, yes, we give Meryl her chops on doing accents and stuff. But you know what?
Really?
Jessica Lange did an entire season with a New England accent. And that is fucking hard to do. I think she deserves another Emmy this year. Did they already do that? Who won Emmy? Did the Emmys come up yet? for stuff last year.
Hang on.
Hey, Widge, if you want to go to that movie,
What?
Oh, no, go ahead. Yours is more important.
September 22nd is when the
All right, she needs another Emmy. She got it for the first season of American Horror because she plays the creepy neighbor lady, of which I wouldn't mind her being my neighbor because I'd get along well with her. But she plays this nun, and it was a great season. It was an awesome season. And the thing is they ended the story really well. I mean, you know how, you know, you and I, Widge, we'll talk about horror stuff. You know how it falls apart at the end. You right. can either have a good ending or you have a total shit ending. It was a good ending. It's like an ending you wish Stephen King can write sometimes. You know, that there's resolution, and it's a good resolution.
Oh,
you know?
I see what it is. I was confused. They're counting it as a miniseries.
Yeah. There's no continuity from one season to the other. Each one is pretty much a different story.
Yeah, so she won for Best Supporting Actress mm-hmm. for season one.
Correct.
And she's nominated for Lead Actress
yes.
season two.
Yes, yeah.
Well, no, I love Jessica Lange. I mean, she is fantastic.
I mean, to get Kathy Bates, because Kathy Bates can do pretty much regional accents as well. So
Kathy
it'll
Bates
be
in- can do any damn thing in the world. I mean, she's fantastic. So,
I mean, it would be interesting. I mean, well, they're always throwing, you know, Meryl work all the time. But, I mean, TV work is just as good now,
if not better. You know what I really like Jessica Lange in last, most recently, was Rob Roy.
Yeah.
That was a great fucking movie.
Uh-huh.
And a good drink.
Yeah.
I can't say I've ever had it.
Did you see that they're re-releasing This Is the End?
This is the End.
Because they want to break 100 million?
That's funny. I did not see it.
But it's a good film. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was actually very funny. But you do need, it's one of those films that you do need to see with an audience.
Right.
Yeah.
So you kind of get it. But I was going to point out, though, Widge, if you do want to go enjoy Phipps Plaza 14.
Phipps, yeah.
The One Direction concert film is being played there. So.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's got reserve seating. You could sit next to a 12-year-old.
Yeah, I was trying to say, I don't know. That's why I was looking at what was coming up, and I was just sort of surprised that the As I Lay Dying movie with James Franco is coming out. Which
I've heard good things about Blue Jasmine.
Yeah, I have too. I mean, that's Cate Blanchett. So
and Andrew Dice Clay, surprisingly.
And Andrew Dice Clay. And,
oh yeah, a friend of mine saw that, and he was actually surprised by Andrew Dice Clay. It's like he actually did a good job. Oh, and Bobby Cannavale's in it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Since we don't get him in, So did you see first episode of Boardwalk Empire?
No.
Oh. Well, next time.
It started. Oh, it was free weekend. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It
we'll
started,
talk about it next
yeah,
time.
It started and it will be good. Oh, speaking of, I saw the trailer for Don John with George
yeah.
Clooney.
Yeah.
That looks fantastic.
Yeah.
It looks interesting.
It looks like it'll be fun. I like him. I mean, considering between Looper and Dark Knight Rises. He was like one of my favorite people from last year.
And even Premium Rush. Premium Rush was not a bad film.
Which I never saw, but it had Michael Shannon in it, so I should have.
It was a bike movie.
Yeah, I know, but you know.
It's not as famous as your bike, but.
No, but you know.
So I'm looking.
A few things are.
You know what? Okay, here's the deal. I would probably go see Machete Kills in October at Phipps. Because I'm hoping they'll get Machete Kills right. As opposed to the first film, much like...
Which was Machete like, Kills Left.
No, Machete, the problem with Machete was they made a trailer and then they tried to make a movie around the trailer, which could not live up to the awesomeness of the trailer. But now that Machete Kills is just a film, my hope is that they'll actually do a film proper. Much like Expendables 1 was shite, but Expendables 2 was exactly what you wanted Expendables 1 to be.
How far is Phipps from you.
It's
oh my God, John! Are you going to divorce your wife over this movie theater?
I might move to Atlanta just to go and live next door to Phipps just to go to see theater movies, movie theaters,
wow.
Things with moving pictures and lights that go down and make it dark. There.
Where's Daddy?
Daddy's in the theater again.
It is currently about a half hour from me if I take a toll road.
But you have to get one of the ones with the reserve seating and the plush seats.
My God, John, let it go.
Because not all of them apparently have them.
John, why don't you... Okay, here's the thing, John. You got a basement? You got a garage?
I live in Florida. No, I don't have a basement.
All right, you got a garage, right?
My house is currently under 4 inches of water.
Is it really?
Well, my backyard is, but yes.
Did you get rain?
We have a...
No, he had a hose pipe go wrong.
We have conservation... That's a sexual reference. We have a conservation lot in my backyard, and they built a church on the other side of the conservation lot and apparently cut off the drainage for the conservation lot. So now there is 4 inches of water. It's almost to my pool with all the rain we've had. It's now almost flooded my house, yes.
Oh, dear.
So there is that.
I was going to say, instead of doing this big move when you move to your new house, just contact Sheet Geek and they could give you your own movie theater.
My daughter won't let me move, even if the house is underwater.
What, is she going to like bar you from leaving your bedroom or something? No, you can't go! You can't go!
It's obvious that you don't have kids. She is
it
in
is
charge.
Obvious. Is well, she really?
I have to say, there's like... What the... No, that can't be right.
It is.
Right. According to this, on Christmas Day, the only thing opening is Grudge Match. No fucking way.
No way, really?
That can't be possible. But no, there's a shit ton of movies coming out towards the end of the year that I want to see.
In plush theaters?
It's like summer was another summer of crap-ish.
Yeah, I mean, you had a couple things that were good.
So you have to wait till fall. Now it's like fall. Well, here's the thing. Okay, New York Times mentioned about, it's in the New York Times magazine, and they were talking about the way Hollywood, you know, all the time, they put all of their money to tentpole, some summer stuff.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that.
However, if you looked at the stuff that really made money, Hunger Games came out in March.
Yeah.
And it made a bazillion dollars.
But they still consider that a tentpole. I mean...
But it was...
Not a summer tentpole.
Hold
on a second. Hunger Games was this year?
No, last year.
Oh,
last year. But they released it in March.
I know.
Well, the thing is that was like the first Hunger Games, so they didn't even... I don't even think...
No.
Nobody was really in it that you knew it.
No, it didn't matter.
The book has been huge. Yeah. I, who do not read, read that book. By the way, the book and the movie are really well done, I think.
That was bulletproof. I'm sorry. I knew it was going to make money, but I didn't realize it was going to be good. Because the movie was good. The movie was so good. I went with Thespia to see the Way Homer, and then I went back because I'm like, the thing with Cosette is like, oh, if I see something that's like really, really good, I'll go back and I'll take you if I didn't see it with you to begin with. And I took her back. I think we saw it in IMAX like again because it was like really fucking good.
Now, I may have asked you this question before, but there's been so many of these. Have you read the book?
No.
Okay, because the interesting thing about the book, they are almost two separate things. I mean, they do follow kind of the same timeline.
Right.
They hit the major points, but the book is told from her perspective and her perspective only. It's you're inside of her head the entire time. So it's very interesting to see sort of the other things that go on, which, of course, you have to do. You have to do because otherwise
the only reason, I mean, as much as I want to see Catching Fire... I will crawl over someone to see Catching Fire because I want to see Donald Sutherland and Philip Seymour Hoffman sitting around a table and being diabolical.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would watch 2 hours of that. Just fuck that. I mean, let's give me that on a separate DVD.
Never mind. I'm not going to say anything. Keep my mouth shut.
Well, let me just. So, did they cast it well?
They've casted it very. First of all, Donald Sutherland, spot on casting.
I mean, Donald Sutherland can be so fucking evil. It's just
in the first book, President Snow is only mentioned.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that before.
And he doesn't really come into play until really Catching Fire, when you know he actually is communicating with Katniss. So the end of Hunger Games has basically changed the game for the entire, well, not just the game as in Hunger Games, but changed the game politically for the entire post-apocalyptic world that they have built. It was not supposed to go that way. So it's very interesting casting, and probably if I was reading the book and you said Donald Sutherland, I'd go, well, sure, absolutely, because he is the guy that you could certainly see him as doing the things that Snow does.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because he becomes a character, and I don't want to give anything away, but he becomes a character where he's not actually never mind, I can't say anything without giving too much away.
Don't, because I will guess things. I'm bad at that.
He's not a good guy, I'll tell you that, though.
$78 million to make, and it made close to $700 million worldwide.
Oh, there you
go. I mean, Rox, that's like 50 Shades of Grey, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, which hilariously, did you see this? Much like the Ben Affleck Batman blowback, no pun intended.
Because of 50 Shades.
Yeah, but yeah, everyone was like, oh, Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy for 50 Shades of Grey.
Which starts tonight, and I'm going to go watch as soon as I'm done with this podcast.
Bullshit, you've already ruined the film. I'm like, okay, come on. Come on. Don't be
It is
complete...
50 Shades of Grey, for crying out loud.
Right.
Like, this started out as Twilight fanfic, A. And two, the fact that you want Matt Bomer from White Collar to do it, maybe he's busy. Maybe he's not interested. You know, who the fuck knows?
Well, like, he's probably not busy, but he's... I like Matt, but he's not that great of... Although, he's not that great of an actor, to be honest with you.
I haven't watched.
And I like White Collar. I like White Collar, and I liked him. I liked him in the Magic Mike film. But you know, he really isn't that. He's a decent actor. He just looks pretty. Everyone wants him because they think that's what. I guess Gray or whatever is. I guess his name is Gray. Looks like. I don't know. I haven't read the book. I swear.
Nice.
Maybe I'm protesting too much, but...
No, but I like this. He apparently reacted to the petition, which is ridiculous in that it says, and I quote, Matt Bomer is the perfect description... They're shouting. Perfect description of Christian Grey, and Alexis Bledel is the perfect actress to represent Anastasia Steele. And if they are not, nobody will be. So please, 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 all of the... Gracious! And Bomerettes in the world need these actors. To which he said, to his credit, he says, I'm so grateful for the fans and touched. I'm looking forward to seeing the movie with Charlie and Dakota. Take-o. It's like, you people are fucking crazy. Please go away.
And by the way, I like Charlie. I never know how to pronounce his last name.
Not seen Sons of Anarchy. Thought he was great in Pacific Rim.
Right, and he's been several other things. In fact, it was actually another we just talked about him a second ago. It was a film with
looking.
Crap! What's his name from Premium Rush, from Batman, from Don John?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And it's a movie about English. Soccer players, hooligans, really.
Hooligans?
Green Street Hooligans.
Green Street Hooligans, yeah. He was in Green Street Hooligans, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, with Elijah Wood.
Oh, yeah. Green Street Hooligans. I believe Charlie Hunnam was in that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he was. He was with Claire Filani.
Yeah, yeah. He was a co-star. He's actually on the poster.
And Mark Warren from Hustle.
Yeah, and he's a really good actor. He's English, by the way, which is it always surprises me whenever I find that out. Especially
I did not
since
know that.
Since he's playing a first of all, even in Pacific Rim, no accent. Yeah. Which is funny because you very well could have put him in an accent, given that they had what's his nose from Australia in there. But anyway, Charlie Hunnam, who he's awesome in Sons of Anarchy. He's born in Newcastle, England. Yep, there you go. Awesome in Sons of Anarchy and plays very. I don't get how the English are take. Basically, you know how everyone claims that the Mexicans are taking all of our jobs. I claim that the English are taking all of our jobs, and that's who we should stop from coming in, taking all the good acting jobs. But yeah, I think he'll do fine in 50 Shades of Grey. I'm not going to go see it, but I'm sure he'll do fine. He's a really, 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 really well talented actor.
So
that's all I have to say.
I just thought it was hilarious. I was like, wow.
Oh,
like,
he was an undeclared. I didn't know he was even an undeclared. Jeez.
Thank you, 50 Shades of Grey people, for making the comic geek seem sane.
And by the way, since we didn't talk about it, Affleck, I don't have a problem with.
No, we did talk about it.
I don't think we talked about it on this podcast. We talked about
on the podcast. That's right, because
Bad
we hadn't had a podcast. Yeah.
We talked about Bad Men.
Well, like I said, As I said at Bad Men 1, and thank you, Warner Brothers, for basically writing the script for our first panel, I like Ben Affleck. I mean, I think he's actually turning out to be a better director than he is an actor, and yeah. I didn't have a problem with him as an actor. As I said, and I'll say it again, and I will defend him about Daredevil to the end. I don't think that was his fault. I don't think anybody could have fucking saved the Daredevil movie. It was shite.
Well, a writer could have saved it.
Like, you know what? There was one cool thing about the Daredevil movie, and maybe this was in the comics, and I just never saw it, but the whole idea of, here's a guy with hyper senses, he has to sleep in an isolation tank. I was like, okay, that makes total sense. That's like the only cool thing of the entire fucking movie. But my only problem is that I keep hearing nothing but how this is going to be Dark Knight Returns inspired. Not Dark Knight Rises, but the Frank Miller comic book, in which Ben Affleck is supposed to be the older, more grizzled, more veteran Batman, which doesn't make any sense because Superman is supposed to be older as well, just better preserved. And I'm like, Ben Affleck is Batman. I'm willing to go with that because I am having Ben the victim of second guessing on being cast as something. I feel for people when that happens. So I'm willing to give people the benefit of the doubt, but it's like, he's not old enough to play that Batman.
That is true. The other concern might be is, though I think that Zack Snyder is a talented director. And I actually did enjoy Man of Steel. I know that a lot of people didn't, but I actually thought it was well done for what it was. I certainly don't think it belongs necessarily in the Superman canon.
Well, once you say it was well done for what it was, I might agree with you.
Yes, it was. And by the way, so was Beat Street. Beat Street was good for what it was.
Yeah, Green Lantern was good for what it was.
Piece of crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. But I actually did like
a half-formed abomination of a comic book adaptation. For that, it was fine. I mean, as long as you look at it in that, yeah, it's fine.
I also enjoyed, Starship Troopers for being a horrible piece of crap that it was as well. So
that was just pulp. I mean, it was just awful pulp. But
I didn't mind Man of Steel, but I think the problem is going to be the script. And you're right. It's going to be a thing where how you've already established, first of all, it's always been a problem with DC anyway. Superman is so overpowered that Look at what they did with the kryptonite. Because
they had to bend over backwards three times to put him in any jeopardy in Man of Steel.
All they had to do was look to the comics. Superman versus Muhammad Ali. You could have made it work.
I still want to see that, Rox.
I do, too.
But you're right. They did have to bend him over, backwards.
Now,
yeah, they did.
Now, I will say this, John. Let me just interject. I just had an idea, Rox, based on your brilliant notion. I think some geek out there should take Man of Steel with Henry Cavill as Superman and Ali with Will Smith as Muhammad Ali and splice them together for a trailer. I'm just saying.
Uh-huh. I thought
make it happen.
But I did think...
You can improve both films that way.
I did think the best parts of Man of Steel, though, were the flashbacks.
I thought Kevin Costner was really solid.
Oh.
I thought the cast was really solid. I mean, don't get me wrong. I thought Cavill was Superman. I mean, and as I mentioned before, the idea that somebody else could step into a role. I mean, you look at Batman.
My biggest problem is Amy Adams in that movie, by the way. But go on.
Well, I mean, the biggest problem, to be fair to Amy Adams, it wasn't really her fault because anyone could have really walked into that role. Sadly, like most lead female roles in films, you could put anyone in the role and it would be interchangeable because there's not much there. I mean, really. Especially in, sadly, comic book movies. But, I mean, my problem was that, like, you look at Batman, and even before Michael Keaton, I mean, because I don't think anyone looked at Batman and went, oh, I'm sorry, Adam West owns that fucking role. No, nobody did. Nobody did. However, you look at like Wonder Woman. Linda Carter is fucking Wonder Woman. Sorry,
yeah.
But she is.
Yeah, she is just fucking
like,
Wonder
just
Woman,
like
isn't
Christopher
she?
Christopher Reeve.
Oh wait, comma's in a different place. Never mind. Go on.
Yeah. Christopher Reeve is fucking Superman. So the idea that you could have someone step into that role and convince me that they were Superman, but he did, and like I said, it was in the trailer. The whole thing about before he hears something and before he goes, he's like, "Excuse me." That's fucking Superman in two words. That's Superman. And he nailed it. Michael Shannon nailed it. I mean, I thought everybody was great. I thought even Lawrence Fishburne, for the small bit he was given to do, was fine.
So,
but, I mean,
go ahead. The problem with the film, then, and maybe I'm getting to your point, is that there was too much destruction.
No, not even that. But, I mean, it was like it didn't make any sense. It's like, okay, I'm going to change the mass of the planet. Okay, well, that doesn't make any fucking sense because my understanding is that the reason why the planet is where it is because of its mass in relation to everything else in the solar system.
And why would you want to do that and destroy your abilities on Earth?
I know.
Why not just come here and pretend to be...
You wake up the Kryptonians and say, and like I said before, say, hey, everybody, wake up. Congratulations. We've got a new planet. And look at the slave race I conquered for you. That if they don't do what we want, we can fucking melt their brains.
Worst case scenario, we snap the back of this one guy and we're done.
Yeah. I'm like, it makes no sense.
Just wait a couple of years, get all the sun's rays on you, and we'll be done.
But I mean, that was the thing, too. It's like, it's not even that. Oh, all it takes is a few hours to acclimate yourself to the atmosphere. It would be one thing if it was fucking poison, and the only reason Superman could breathe is because he spent years and years and years acclimating himself to it. No, Michael Shannon got over it in mere minutes.
Although
that
would have been an interesting twist if they showed him as a kid as an asthmatic.
Yeah, well, I love the idea of him in that closet.
Oh,
basically going, I cannot fucking
awesome.
Deal with how much input I'm getting.
It was awesome.
That was great. I mean, because that's the sort of thing that you think and you go, okay, that makes sense. And I loved the Kevin Costner thing of, well, should I just let him die? I don't know, maybe. I mean, it's like, what do you say? I mean, what do you fucking say? It's the whole thing of, I'm sorry, you are the adoptive father of someone who basically could be considered a god. What do you fucking say, you know?
Especially if you're a Midwest guy and you want him to grow up to be a good man.
A good man, but not... But John, I mean, it's perfect. You want him to be a good man, but you also want him to be a man who doesn't get fucking torn apart and, like, you know, ostracized by the world. So, that balance of... I mean... I can imagine that's bad enough for, like, being a dad just normally. I mean, John, I mean,
So what?
You're the dad on here,
right? So what? It's exactly it. You're right. You.
I mean, my problem with the film was it made no sense. It wasn't that it was too destructive. It was too destructive and didn't make any sense. If I am fighting across the surface of the entire fucking planet, and two spaceships are jackhammering the planet to bits so that everyone on the planet can feel it, if I crash into a building fighting, no one should look surprised, because everyone should be standing around going, what the fuck is happening? Instead, people are wandering around, going from place to place, oh, sipping coffee. I'm like, fuck no! You should be completely fucking panicked, because the entire planet is under attack! That makes no fucking sense!
So, I guess Zack Snyder, going back to Snyder? I never know how to say his name.
Snyder.
And I'll forget it again when we go back to say his name again.
It's Snyder.
So his biggest issue, I think, then...
Zack Snyder, yeah.
...is that he can't finish a film properly. Even in 300, as much as I love 300, the ending of that is kind of... Even though it's obviously predestined, because you know how it's going to end.
Oh, spoilers.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. But even the ending of that, though as awesome as it was sort of a train wreck.
Well, I mean, basically... Honestly, I think the best film that he's done is Watchmen. Because
the ending was already written for him.
But they had to change it, and it was the only one that would make any fucking sense
for a
film.
There was no just mysterious being that shows up at the anyway. Yes, you're right.
But, I mean, but
because he didn't do enough acid is what the problem was.
Well, but I mean, like, but even go back to his first film, Dawn of the Dead, the remake. And
right.
That even though it starts off really well, starts to fall apart about halfway through. You know, Sucker Punch barely held together through the opening credits.
Yeah, I actually didn't mind Sucker Punch, but it's sort of a chore to watch.
Well, I mean, but Sucker Punch is, and it's very problematic in its themes. And it's also, like, it just seems to be working out special effects for Man of Steel, honestly. but, I mean, the other thing, I mean... As I mentioned before, if you were to say Ben Affleck is Batman, and by the way, who's saying this? Christopher Nolan. That's one thing. Because at this point, Christopher Nolan could cast anything in fucking anybody in fucking anything. And I think we'd all go, well, that's interesting. I mean, that's like, as I mentioned before, the rumor before the third film, before Bane and whatnot, was it was going to be the Riddler. And it was going to be basically a deal where Batman, now being the wanted criminal, the Riddler poses as the good guy and comes in to be the new consultant for the cops. And so it's a complete reversal of their roles, when really he's the villain operating as a good guy and vice versa for Batman. And it was going to be Eddie Murphy as the Riddler. And I'm like, okay, Eddie Murphy as the Riddler with Christopher Nolan? Done. I'm in. Let's do it. Because I'm like, nobody who said, oh, Heath Ledger is a Joker, what the fuck? Nobody who said that should say a fucking word ever fucking again about any casting fucking ever. Because now Heath Ledger not only destroyed the role of the Joker, he literally destroyed the role of the Joker in that, thanks to his tragic end, which was fucking tragic, don't get me wrong, but it'll be years before anyone goes near that role. Because that was like his last major role. He destroyed the role in every sense of the word. So, I mean, but the other thing that bothers me too, John, about Superman Batman, aka World's Finest, is that it would be one thing if they were building a universe like Marvel if they were playing the long game. Because Marvel played the long game. They basically, it's not like they started Iron Man thinking, hey, we could do the Avengers. I actually believe them when, if you go back, I mean, and to their credit, unlike, like, you know, oh, we just got done with Blade and it was successful. Oh, we always imagined it as a trilogy. No, you fucking didn't. You're amazed it made money.
Yes.
Don't you fucking give me that bullshit.
So was the IRS, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Always bet on black, John. Always bet on black. But no, I'm like, you know, in 2000, they were like sitting there going, hey, this could work. And then it was only as they were started thinking about it that they went, you want to do Avengers? Oh, let's fucking do Avengers. Why not? As opposed to DC, which is playing catch up. And instead of trying to do like Man of Steel 2 and reboot Batman, where they can integrate that into a DCU, a cinematic DCU, they're instead going, oh, we got to do fucking Batman Superman now. Oh, then we got to do Justice League now. And I'm like, you guys are missing the fucking point completely. And Marvel is going to eat your lunch.
I would rather them just go ahead and do Justice League right out the bat.
Really?
Than try to do this half step that they're doing right now.
No, I agree. And the problem is that the fact that they're doing this instead of Man of Steel 2 doesn't say to me, oh, we're doing a DCU in the movies. It says to me, we don't have enough confidence in Man of Steel as a franchise that we have to take the Batman franchise, which, by the way, is a different franchise now without Nolan on board, but they don't know that. They don't see that. All they see is Batman. We're going to meld the two together, and that'll be great. Which says to me, I'm like, really, you've already skipped to the Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein phase.
Those are horrible times.
No, which by itself was a funny movie. I mean, come on, for what it was funny.
I never thought Abbott and Costello were funny.
Really?
Oh my God, yeah, no.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't until years later that I found out that Bud Abbott, or, you know, Bud.
Yeah.
Was the nice one, and Costello was a total asshole. I don't know. I just, I'm a Stooge and Marx Brothers fan.
Oh, no, I agree. I agree. But
I oddly enough, I never really cared. There's something about Stooges. Yeah, they slap each other around and stuff. But to me, there was a little bit more undercurrent meanness, you know, in you know, Abbott and Costello. I just couldn't. I really didn't like them. And really? The funny thing is, you know, they would play their stuff all the time. And, you know, then you'd watch, like, you know, the Bowery Boys, which I loved them. They were great. No, but for some reason, I couldn't stand the Abbott and Costello films.
It makes sense. I just sort of like that. I like their stuff. I like their radio shows. I thought those were funny. They're the old time radio shows. I mean, you can see the gags coming a mile off, but you don't care.
Apparently, we've lost people. Hello. They have just disappeared. Apparently. So, folks, how are you doing? This is John, the half-assed engineer, saying, "Hey, how's it going? Let me try and get everyone back." That sounds like a good idea. Sure, why not? Did I just lose internet connectivity? Is that what happened? I think I've lost internet connectivity. At least things are recording, right? I mean, that's something. Hey, Rox!
Widge is trying to call you, I think.
Widge is not trying to call me yet.
Oh, okay.
See, what happened was is that there was too much momentum going in the podcast. So, oops. I need to add you to the other call. Hold on a second.
Okay.
I'm going to hang up and you call me back again.
Okay.
And then I'm going to switch back over to Rox. There we go. Add to group call. There we go. I think we got everybody together now. As I was telling Rox, there's too much momentum going in this podcast. So, therefore, Skype said, screw you all.
Widge is on hold.
No, it isn't. Widge is right there.
On my window.
Widge, are you there?
Told you.
Widget walls.
Okay.
There he is.
Sorry, I connected on hold for some reason and couldn't get off of hold.
As I was telling Rox, the everything was going too smoothly for it to for Skype's liking, so it canceled everything.
All right. Well, listen. We should
do introductions.
Should we, or should we just?
No, it's just us. Yeah, they should know us by now. Okay. I actually had somebody go, "Hey, Rocks." I'm like, "Oh, hi." I'm like, "I don't know you," because I recognize you by your voice. I'm like, "Oh."
Okay. So yeah, to my left, Rocks. To my right, John. Yay!
Things are happening.
Yes. So we should do recommendations real quick, and then we should run away before the ghost of Costello brings more woe upon us.
I know.
Actually, that could have been what it was.
I know.
But Abbott will come and get us.
Yep. All right, Rox, what do you got?
Okay, I just watched it. It's, I think, what did it come out like last year? The Woman in Black, the Hammer film with Daniel Radcliffe.
You just watched it. What'd you think?
I liked it.
I thought it was good. I thought it was solid.
Very good. It was very solid. The ending was very good. Honestly, I think it had a better ending. I won't spoil it. Than I think the others, the one with Nicole Kidman.
Okay.
Along that vein of what happens and the veil and whatever, I really enjoy whoever is running Hammer Film. They are taking really good, notes on what was done previously. I also picked up, this was a while ago, the Icons of Suspense series from Hammer Films as well. Pick those up because there's like four films. One's Strangers with Candy. One is a really interesting sci-fi horror film that has Oliver Reed in it. And he plays this... back in the 50s, there were like these punk guys, and they were called Teddy Boys. And these were, oddly enough, your thugs dressed up in Great Britain. And it's kind of interesting. They come across sort of like this village of the damned with children who are radioactive. And it's an interesting story. The cinematography is really good. But getting back to The Woman in Black, they really, whoever is running that studio is really paying attention to what was done previously. This is a remake. There was a, I don't know if it was done as a film, but there was a two-part series as well. And he does a really good job. Atmosphere is fantastic. Sets are really good. Acting is really good. And it's really hard when you're acting and you're the only one on set. So the cast is very small. And he really does show his acting chops, Daniel Radcliffe does. And I think as far as an ending, like I said, I liked this, I think, a lot more than the others, the Nicole Kidman film, sort of atmospheric type suspense film. So I really enjoyed it. Stephen King's got The Shining Part 2 coming out soon. So I'm going back and I'm rereading The Shining. Of the story about little Danny Torrance and his alcoholic dad and Wendy, his mopishly high-strung mom, all locked away in the Overlook Hotel, of which you can buy a t-shirt by T-Shirt Bordello of the Overlook Hotel.
and might I add, a pint glass as well.
And a pint glass, exactly.
I own both and I can recommend them both.
There you go. So I'm rereading that. It's been, I don't know, when that came out shortly after Carrie or Salem's Lot, right? I mean, it's a really early Stephen King story.
What, The Shining?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's early. And what I would say is, and Rox, you probably know this, but for people who might want to reread it, remember that he wrote it originally as a five-act with a five-act Shakespearean tragedy in mind.
Mm, yeah.
So if you and the whole
so you're
problem,
you're thinking Titus Andronicus, well, any I'm, of the other I, horrible.
I, well, no, I'm thinking more along the lines of the fact
Othello.
That. Well, I mean the problem with the original film is that Jack Nicholson is crazy from the get-go because he's Jack Nicholson, right. So there's no tragedy involved. Whereas the miniseries with Steven Weber actually captured a bit more of that. Now I still like the Kubrick film for what it is. But I sort of agree with King that it really lost a lot of what the book was trying to do.
Did you ever see that documentary on AMC, TCM? And it was Stephen King Goes to the Films? or whatever?
No.
Well, he speaks briefly about his discussion with Kubrick. And the reason
the,
I'm...
The one at
I'm,
3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. And it's sort of funny that... You know how certain films or books have certain senses of, you know, heat and or coldness,
right,
and stuff? He was amazed that Kubrick latched onto the coldness of the book, and King thought it was more fiery.
Huh.
So that sort of was one of those nuggets that sort of like gets into your head and you're like, huh, you know, so I'm rereading it for that. Plus, of course, the kind of, which Stephen King has done sort of sequels and continuations on whatever mythology he's kind of created. I mean, Dark Tower, or what was it? Black House was,
a
sequel. I know, but
I fucking hated The Talisman.
Yeah, I did too, for the fact that he really shit upon that ending. It was
even beyond that, it was just that there was just, I have a problem when you put your protagonist through too much without release.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, now you're just being sadistic and I can't deal with this anymore.
Right. But I did like Black House.
You know what I want? I wish he would do the Salem's Lot sequel that he had thought about all those years ago. It doesn't matter that so many years have passed. Set it in the past, Stephen. Come on, fuck.
Well, it'd be interesting. My interest is here is seeing what the difference is after so many years.
Right.
You know, how the prose is. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, because when The Cell came out, he pared his writing style down because this was right after the accident.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed The Cell a lot, even though it was kind of the same kind of, you know, making zombies from cell phones. However, it was interesting because his prose was so pared down.
Mm.
And I thought he'd stay on that. And then Doom McKee came out and like, holy shit, this is crap.
But I mean, the thing that I would say that is interesting now is that you're dealing with a writer that understands that he doesn't owe shit to anybody.
No.
Which is why at least when he tries something, I'll say, you know what? Thank you for experimenting. That's like,
oh my God, yeah. It's like Dolores Claiborne.
Yeah, it was like Gerald's Game. It's like, can I set a horror novel that's only in one room?
I couldn't. That's like one of the books I actually stopped reading.
Wow. I actually liked it and Dolores Claiborne. I like the way that they like fit together.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you know, can I, you know, Dolores Claiborne, can I have a novel that's an entire monologue? That's one monologue.
Yeah.
You know? I'm glad that instead of just doing the same fucking thing over and over again, he has taken some time to go, let me take some risks. And let me tell you something. I've never seen anybody go out on a tightrope like Dark Tower Book 7.
Right.
That was fucking amazing. And I just, you know, when I met him, I wish I'd had enough time to go, you know what? I would have driven to Bangor, Maine with a wheelbarrow and said, here is your gold-plated wheelbarrow for your balls, sir. Well done. Well done. Cart your balls around with pride, sir. This is for you.
Yeah.
But enough about Steve's testicles.
It's true. Because apparently in the news, the smaller your balls are, the better dad you are. However, I'm done.
Oh, you need that thing, don't you?
Yeah. Oh my God. Hook that up.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second.
Okay. That needs to be a two-hander.
I know.
Soundboard. Oh, you need that thing, don't you? Yeah. Hook that up.
There's a thing here that goes like this. Hold on. I gotta find it. Otherwise, everything is set up for Dragon Con, which
this is why we can't get a Parsec.
I can't.
We need to make notes just so we can say this is scripted, because it is scripted, people.
It is scripted.
It's all scripted. I have notes all over the place.
Oh my God! I have so many yellow stickies on this script. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Red markers.
You'd think with a couple weeks off, we could have gotten a finished script. I mean, I'm sorry, Doc. I'm sorry. I know it's been a crazy time for everybody.
Well, I know, but it was Kim that wanted the rewrites.
And she's not even here.
I know. She's not here. She wrote herself out of the script.
I know. And she wanted stuff set up for next week or next time. I mean, it's ridiculous. We're rehearsing next week. Is that why I said next week? Are we still waiting for the thing?
I don't know.
I think so. Hold
look.
On.
Bing. There. Done. Johnny fail.
John, what have you got for us?
Hold on. I'm looking for this ding.
Oh, my God. Just forget it.
I recommend dinging. That's what I recommend.
I got this.
Just touch it again.
I got this.
What? Oh, my God.
I got this. I can't find the ding.
That'll work. That'll be epic.
John, Chuck Berry, my dingling. Go.
He doesn't have.
I got to pee.
Anyway. John, what have you got for us?
As usual, I have nothing other than I am reading Wayne of Gotham.
Oh, my God, you're reading.
Yes, I know. Isn't that strange?
Wow.
Very slowly, which is why I don't have anything to recommend. It's okay.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Are your children embarrassed by you?
Often and very much so. Do
they plead for you to go to Dragon Con? Please, Dad, just give me some.
Mostly because pain. I can't find.
Please, Dad, move to Atlanta.
Hey, here we go.
Thank you.
Totally worth it, John. Totally worth it.
Yes.
You know why? Because it's called Ting on my board, not Ding. That's why I couldn't find it.
Oh, Ting. What is that Ting? Sorry, my Asian friends.
When do they go to the dentist? Anyway.
What?
2:30. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh.
Why you got to get all racist?
We are not going to get a parse.
We almost went an entire episode without racism.
It's a horrible joke. And my dad, who was mildly racist, would tell it. So, anyway.
Anyway.
Ask my one black friend. I'm just digging myself deeper.
So, Wayne of Gotham, John.
Yeah, it's okay. I recommend.
What's
sure.
it about?
It's about the Waynes of Gotham.
It's about Wayne of Wayne's World moving to Gotham.
Yes. It's.
Oh, excellent.
It's about and teaming up with John Wayne.
I also by the way, my head is swimming now. I also recommend Scuttlebutt 777 Belgian Ale, 9% alcohol.
My God, you're drunk.
I am.
Rocks has got a soundtrack by Lil Wayne.
It's a 1 pint. It's 1.6 ounces. So
all right, you're done. Let's talk now, just so we can end this.
Buy things through Amazon.
Oh, just stop. End this horror, John. Widge, start talking.
This is going horror. Strangely, this is going better than my Parsec presentation.
Okay. So anyway. Yes, as John sort of said, if you, first of all, thank you to those of you who came out to the show of shows and were there for the recording of Weekend Justice 200. You're all amazing, fucking amazing people
and really good at life.
Yeah. And really good. And really you win at life. You've already won at life.
That's not what I said, but sure.
That we said so. So yes. So we Need Coffee has the best fucking fans on the planet. And I will fight anyone who says otherwise.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know.
Fuck you, John! So, I'll fight all the Eagles. Me and John Wayne and Little Wayne.
We'll fight Don Henley.
All the other Waynes. Yes. But one of the ways that you can support us, which is easy, and you're going to basically do it anyway, is shop at Amazon. I know! You shop at Amazon anyway. But the way you do it and help us...
But, Widge, I shop at Amazon already.
I know, John, you do, but if you basically bookmark this URL, needcoffee.com/Amazon, that's needcoffee.com/Amazon.
If I'm bookmarking it, does that mean I can only buy books through it?
No, John, you can buy everything there, including fleshlights. So you bookmark that, you go to that, and it will be like you've just gone to the Amazon front page, like nothing happened, but magical things have happened, because anything you buy during that session, we get kickbacks for. And we thank you. It saves our asses.
We thank you.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm their goodwill ambassador. Every time I'm at Dragon Con, I always make sure I chat with all of our fans. It's hard.
At Amazon? I'm confused now.
Our fans.
Are fans of Amazon?
Yeah,
sure. Fans, John. What was that about the size of his balls? Anyway,
can you buy fans at Amazon and get money?
Yes,
to
you can.
He's a good dad. We'll just leave it at that. He's a good dad.
The desk fan I have on my desk came from Amazon. So, my recommendations. A couple quick things. First of all, Now You See Me came out on Blu-ray last week. Recommended fun, magic-induced heist film. Also, this week, the third series of Luther is out, apparently.
Yes.
It is your friend. You should watch it if you have not seen it. Start from the beginning. It's only got like 10 episodes between all three series. Do it.
Be sure to watch Thor in between because it is important.
You should have Alice as your friend.
Because Luther guards the Rainbow Bridge.
You got it. And I just saw this. I've not seen the full show, which I would love to, but the Jesus Christ Superstar Arena version, which has Tim Minchin as Judas, has apparently hit DVD. So I cannot wait to watch that. Tim Minchin, of course, the Australian by way of UK comedian, who is basically setting the world on fire with his Matilda musical, which has now come to Broadway.
Is he mentioned in the credits?
So three albums really quickly because Tuffley and Rob aren't here, and I get them all to myself. Arctic Monkeys AM is out, and it is really solid and exactly what I wanted from the new Arctic Monkeys album. Also coming out between during our off week next week, the latest from Naked and Famous, In Rolling Waves, which is a very solid follow-up to Passive Me, Aggressive You. I was very pleased with it. I recommend it. And also, a band that their last album, I didn't crank my tractor so much, but this one does. Placebo's Loud Like Love is really, really good. It's the Placebo that I want, and that heals me in a way that only Placebos do. What the hell was that?
It was. I need a placebo to fix my
choking
cough.
Choking or something.
Are you killing a boar? What's happening?
I am a boar. That's what they tell me. That's what they told me at the parsecs.
Sorry, John.
It's going to be okay, John. Really, it's going to be okay.
No, it won't. It gets better.
We'll get somebody else to write your lines.
Did you get through all three of your
We won't let Scott albums? Write your lines anymore. How's that?
Oh, God. Scott wrote his lines?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know. We weren't there.
Because I was doing lines at the time.
Wow.
Hey, did you get through all three of your albums?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
That means we can run away now.
Can we go?
Is that what that means?
Yes. What? I thought I heard boob. I did. I did heard boob. I thought I heard a boob. I did hear a boob.
I is English major.
I English major. And it's sequel. I English major.
isn't that Popeye as an English major?
With music by Harry Nelson.
Yeah.
Hold on for just 30 more seconds and we get to the 3-hour mark.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, how many?
What?
30.
30 seconds?
Well, 25 now.
Oh, wow.
Since Widge isn't doing introductions, there's no music to make up for the difference. So.
Oh, that's right. I didn't put any music.
You can put it here at the end.
Song
remix.
Oh my god, you actually
what makes dubstep dubstep
for that?
Yeah,
they're gonna
and 3 hours.
Gonna say no.
We've already said no. We should have said no a long time ago.
All right.
So if you've gotten to the end of this, dear listener, you have now wasted 3 hours of your life. What?
Hey, the people that bought us people that bought us the cookie, please, in the comments, tell us your name.
All I did was show up and there was a cookie there.
The thing is the girl won the Rock'em Sock'em robot from me, and I'm sorry I can't remember your name, and your charming husband, boyfriend, whatever, you got beer. So please, in the comments, write your name so we know who you are.
Yes, and for anyone, I'm glad that I knew. And thank you to Steve McTwits for explaining who he was. If you come up to me at Dragon Con, please know that I am disoriented and exhausted, and I may not remember who the hell you are.
I get that all the time. It's just, like, hey, rocks. I'm like, oh, hey. And I just, yeah, hey.
I'm like, feel free to explain who you are. Please, it's not, I don't mean to be a dick. I'm not like other people who won't remember who you are or, you know, won't say that you did anything memorable during Dragon Con with them. I mean, I'm not that kind of a dick. I'm the sort of dick who's just going, what? Huh? Where am I? What? Ah, what's going on?
I so can't remember 2 minutes ago. Yeah.
You know what, Rox? I can't remember 2 minutes ago either. Did we actually hit the 3-hour mark?
Yeah, I think so. We can go now.
Okay,
no, hold on. We haven't
John,
yet.
Stop it.
John, I actually marked it on my arm like I was dealing with the silence.
I have no idea what that means.
True. I forgot. He doesn't know what that means.
That's fine.
All the better.
Let's just leave him.
Let's just sneak out.
Yeah, John will be gone.
3 hours and 2 minutes. Man.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.